The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. Oh, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is June 20th, a Wednesday. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, hundreds gathered in Center City Tuesday to protest the current immigration policy of separating undocumented minors from their parents who illegally crossed the border into the United States. The protesters gathered outside of a planned event at the Rittenhouse Hotel that Vice President Mike Pence headlined, a Republican fundraiser with Pennsylvania gubernatorial nominee Scott Wagner. Many protesters carried signs decrying the Trump administration's zero-tolerance policy on immigrants that has resulted in the separation of parents and children. Refusing to back down on his stance, the president has blamed Democrats, but demonstrators say this isn't a political issue, but rather a humanitarian one. Organizers arranged about 50 pairs of children's shoes into the word no on the walkway facing the Rittenhouse Hotel. One demonstrator said the shoes symbolize these kids in need. They are missing, and they don't have a voice out there. Organizers say the shoes will be donated to charity following the rally. Police officers had shut down streets on two sides of the park to restrict access to the hotel where Pence was speaking. Things turned tense when a Secret Service agent assigned to Pence's detail tried leaving by driving through a crowd of protesters near Walnut, 19th and Walnut. He activated his emergency equipment and was trying to get through the crowd, said a Philadelphia police captain. Several protesters surrounded the vehicle. Bike officers intervened, and when that happened, someone jumped on the Secret Service vehicle. That person has been detained. A Chester County woman has been charged following a fatal hit and run. 21-year-old Alexa Lafkas of Euclid Township is charged with leaving the scene of an accident involving death or injury following the May 27th incident in Norristown. According to police, 64-year-old Clinton Rucker was crossing Markley Street at Main Street at about 4 a.m. He was crossing against the light, police say, when he was hit by Lafkas' Jeep. She had a yellow light at the time and was traveling 40 miles per hour in a 25-mile-per-hour zone. Lafkas did not stop to help after hitting Rucker, but instead drove to a friend's apartment in Bridgeport. If the defendant had stopped, attempted to help the victim, and called police, she likely would not be facing this severe of a charge or state prison time, police said. Drivers need to do the right thing and need to do the right and responsible thing, said Montgomery County District Attorney Kevin Steele in a statement. Lafkas was released on her own recognizance. A preliminary hearing is scheduled for later this month.
That word about stopping and assisting, you know, a lot of times doesn't get out, and people don't, you know, they still barrel ass through and just continue. They keep going. They panic or for whatever reason. But look at the amount, how the charges have skipped up exponentially.
And now she's looking at jail time. I mean, at
and it's just also the humane thing to do.
Yeah, stop. Police are investigating the shooting death of a 61-year-old man in South Philadelphia. It happened at 9:30 Tuesday near Wilson Park Homes on the 2100 block of Taney Terrace. Arriving officers found the 61-year-old man lying in the road with a gunshot wound to the chest. Officers rushed the man to Penn Presbyterian Medical Center, where he was pronounced dead a few minutes later. Police aren't completely clear on what happened in the moments leading up to the shooting, but witnesses say there was some sort of physical confrontation between the victim and his killer. Approximately five shots were fired, one of them hitting the victim. Police say the shooter was seen driving south on Taney Terrace in a blue-colored car. Authorities are working on a name for the suspect and have reason to believe the victim knew him. A knife was also found at the scene. Investigators aren't sure who it belonged to, the victim or the shooter. They are also hoping to retrieve some surveillance video from neighboring homes or businesses to help them in the investigation. In sports this morning...
Sacks are yelling.
The Phillies lost to the St. Louis Cardinals 6-5 last night at the ballpark. Matt Carpenter hit a tie-breaking solo home run with two outs in the ninth, leading the Cardinals to the win. It was another bad night for the Phillies bullpen, who allowed three more runs, blew another lead, and gave up another home run. In just the month of June, Phil's relievers have a 6.17 ERA, and they have given up 64 hits, including a league-high 13 home runs. The quick homestand wraps up today, and Jake Arrieta gets the start. Game time this afternoon is set for 1:05. At the World Cup yesterday, there were three matches. Japan beat Colombia 2-1, and Senegal beat Poland. by the same score.
It's its own country now.
Yes, Portland. The biggest match of the day featured the host Russians, who beat Egypt 3-1 in their second Group A match at St. Petersburg.
How did Secaucus do, Kathy?
The win gives the Russians 6 points from their opening two games and puts them in position to advance to the knockout round after outscoring their opponents 8-1 thus far in the tournament. And the Eagles are still the Super Bowl champs. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thanks a bunch, Kathy. And as I said, midweek is where we are. And happy to be here on what's a good-looking morning so far. And I'm going to say we're going to do... Today we're doing one thing only. Killing Nazis.
Absolutely.
Well, that's from Inglourious Basterds. Actually, no, we're doing one thing only. We're having a good time today. That's it. Midweek, I think we could use a little boost. We could use a little bit of fun and enjoyment. And that's what we plan on doing.
May I say, I've noticed something about you today.
What?
You're... rocking like Dawkins.
Yeah, baby. You guys see my shirt? I got listeners sent me this awesome Beast from the East Dawkins t-shirt, and I'm sporting it today, so I'm rocking like Dawkins.
I met that listener. You're inspired by our recent Dawkins conversation to send you that shirt.
Dawkins?
Yes. Yes. Rocking Dawkins. Like Dawkins.
Yeah.
I want to see that picture.
So we have several things planned for today. As is per a Wednesday, we're going to go live on Fox Good Day, so we'll check in with Mike and Alex. We will have a secret text word as well, which is a Wednesday tradition. And we have an overnight stay at the Cambria Hotel on Broad Street in Philadelphia. So it's a pretty sweet setup. And just go and have a night in the city, man, which is a fun thing
to
do. If you haven't done that in a while, especially if you don't live in the city and you just like to get away for a day and take in all that is Philly and the wonderful Cambria Hotel, we have your opportunity to do that. So... text the word secret to 39333, and we will bounce word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that word. Designated caller will win that, and they have modern local design at the Cambria Hotel, upscale amenities, several restaurants with craft beer, and you can visit choicehotels.com/Cambria to book your stay. So we have those things. We are also going to have in the studio this morning Lil Rel Howery, and he is in the movie Uncle Drew, which is in theaters on June 29th. It's about these older guys that get this basketball game together.
You remember the Pepsi ad that featured Uncle Drew? And
yeah.
So they just expanded on it. I thought it was a
great idea.
Yeah, it looks great.
So that'll be around 9 o'clock this morning. He's going to be stopping by. We will also have the ladies of Hooters coming in today. They're doing a hottie cam. And we'll tell you about some beer that's being brought by this morning. We'll get some of the details on that later. So as Nick said, Nana Puya. And we'll have those things and more. Let's take ourselves a break. Come back in a second. I got a stack full of entertainment stories that I want to run by you, as well as some stuff to give away, and that is with the stupid question this morning. We'll be back in just a sec. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR. Here comes
the... This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand and Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand and Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to give away a $50 gift certificate for Bacon Me Crazy, located on Main Street in Phoenixville. The question I have for you, what is the nickname for England's FTSE 100 stock market index? 215-263-WMMR. What is the nickname for England's FTSE 100 stock market index? Call now if you know the answer. It's a pretty easy one if you follow financing. Sorry, I dropped.
I do all the time. It's all I follow.
I dropped my stack of trivia cards. All right, so a lot of birthdays today. Let me go through these on Wednesday, June 20th, while we wait for your call. Chino Moreno from the Deftones. He's the singer of the band. He's 45 years old today, as well as Marilyn Manson's bassist, Twiggy Ramirez.
Isn't he in trouble?
47. Was it him or was it one of the other ones?
What's the other one? They all have weird Abdal names.
Well, it's it's a serial killer and a it's a supermodel and serial killer.
There we go. Okay.
So Marilyn Manson is Marilyn Monroe and Charles Manson.
So maybe it's not Twiggy Ramirez. It's one of the other ones. Was there were allegations of rape, right?
Yes.
Yes.
And
I don't know if it's Twiggy though. I don't, may not have been.
I don't remember which one. His real name is Jordy White though.
Okay.
So he's 47. Another bass player, Michael Anthony, had him on the show before from Van Halen and Chickenfoot, and he's a really nice guy.
He is?
I always like Michael Anthony.
And you pointed out something I never really thought about. It's him doing the high harmonies when Van Halen and the classic Halen performed.
Yeah, he does the really high harmony singing, and he's good at it. He's celebrating his 64th birthday today. Nice guy. Nicole Kidman has her birthday.
Really like her.
Married to Keith Urban. She's 51 years old today.
She towers over him. She's fairly statuesque. She towered over Tom Cruise.
Yeah, she went weird looking for a little bit.
She did, and she brought it back. Yeah. I don't know what she did,
like,
but
what?
She was
what
looking.
Do you mean?
She was looking overly surgical.
Mm-hmm.
And then
maybe it was like overly Botox, but it really did change the look of her face.
Yeah.
And
she's looking better, I think.
Back. 51 years old today. It's John Goodman's birthday.
Yes.
Got your asses whipped by a bunch of goddamn nerds.
He's been in so many good things, man.
You guys used to hang out together, right?
We did.
Yeah.
And where were we at?
Strip club.
Yeah, I know. I was trying to remember the name of
it. Yeah.
It is, where did I see him? Oh, man, I forgot.
It was near Chicago, I believe.
Illinois. It was in East St. Louis.
It's in St. Louis.
Which is right across, it's in Illinois, but it's right across the river from St. Louis. And it was Diamond Cabaret? I think it might have been the Diamond
All
Cabaret.
Right.
But yeah, I saw him on the back of a hooker.
As the story goes.
I saw he was carrying a stripper on his back behind the bar. He was giving her a piggyback ride.
Yeah.
And then he disappeared into a room behind the bar. And I was like, that was John Goodman.
That was John freaking Goodman.
It was very bizarre.
With a hooker.
It was absolutely positively him.
Yeah.
Without question. Because he's from Afton, Missouri, which is right outside of St. Louis. So anyhow... recently with Roseanne, no longer, obviously, that's not happening.
Looks like it might be coming back, though. Rumors are circulating that they are the spinoff series will look like and who will lead it.
All right, we'll
but he's on board.
See if that happens. John Goodman, 66 today. The great Brian Wilson of the Beach Boys is turning 76 years old today.
So a picture of him on Twitter with kids and grandkids, and there were a lot of them.
Oh, yeah?
So, you know, I guess during those drugged up years, he managed to do some banging because there are a lot of kids.
Yeah, I have no idea what his progeny is, how many kids he has or anything like that. But
legend.
One of the all-time great songwriters and producers, mind you.
We talk about this movie, The Wrecking Crew, which you're talking the creme de la creme of Los Angeles studio musicians. And the way they describe working with Brian Wilson is if, like, they were working with Jesus, that he was that good.
Yeah. So 76 years old today, Brian Wilson. Director Robert Rodriguez, movies like Sin City and Spy Kids.
Yeah, I love Spy Kids.
He did all those. And he did the Planet Terror segment of Grindhouse. He's celebrating the big 5-0 today.
He also has a talk show, well, a one-on-one talk show with famous directors on his El Rey network, which is really good.
Okay. Then you have Bob Vila.
Ah.
This old house.
Yeah.
He was the guy, he kind of paved the way for home improvement shows.
He was it. In fact, the Goldbergs repeat the other night brought up Bob Vila and how Beverly was going to redo the kitchen herself because she thought, well, Bob Vila can do it.
Yeah.
Not so much.
And he was, I mean, they sort of, well, wasn't he kind of a Tim Allen's rival on
Home Improvement? Yeah, in fact, they made a lot of that.
Yeah.
And he got into trouble, or there was some issue, because I think the show was originally on PBS, unless I miss my guess.
Yeah.
And then there was some sort of Sears tie-in. Or,
well, Craftsman Tools, right?
And then now every one of these shows is sponsored out the yin-yang.
Mm. So 72 years old today. Lionel Richie.
Oh!
Is celebrating his birthday today.
It's a commercial he's doing right now where they're trying to get him to say all night long, And he's like, well, it'll be happening for the extent of the evening.
You know what? I haven't seen that.
It's pretty funny. Yeah. Like, it's these guys setting him up, and it's for some insurance policy, or I don't know what it is. But they're like, and how long do you think that will be happening, Lionel?
Yeah.
Not for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
Until tomorrow morning. You know, and it's one after another.
So, obviously, and we say this every year at his birthday, but in I believe it was 1980, the entire decade, he had a number one hit every single year. I think he's the only songwriter to ever have
pretty
an
amazing
entire decade where he had a number one hit record that he wrote every single year of the decade.
He's a powerhouse.
Yeah.
And now with American Idol, though it looked like it was going to be sort of iffy for a while, they've renewed it, and he'll be back.
69 years old today, Mr. Lionel Richie. It's easy, man. So easy. That's why I'm easy. Also celebrating birthday today, Danny Aiello.
Ah.
Yeah, Do the Right Thing, Moonstruck.
Don't Preach.
He's in the Papa Don't Preach video. What does he say? If you leave this
house, then you take a coat.
Don't ever come back.
No, you whore. Yeah. You a whore.
Yep.
You a whore.
He's 85 today.
85.
Yeah, wow.
He was the perennial. Yeah. He's the pizza shop owner and Do the Right Thing and countless other things.
And the last birthday is actor Christopher Mintz-Plasse, I'm not sure how you say his last name, but you know him. In the Kick-Ass movies, he's Mother Effer.
Yes. Yep. And
I'm the Mother Effer.
Super bad.
And he was also Red Mist, actually, in the first Kick-Ass. In the second one, he's the Mother Effer.
Mother Effer.
Yeah, Super Bad, Role Models.
McLovin, right?
He's McLovin.
Yeah.
Okay.
Voices some character in How to Train Your Dragon. So he is 29 today. And them's the birthdays that I have for you this morning. Let's see if we can get an answer to this question. What is the nickname for England's FTSE 100 stock market index? And I will go to, is it Peluso? Is that your name?
Yep, it's Peluso.
All right, Peluso, what is the nickname for the FTSE 100?
It's called the FTSE.
The FTSE. Yay! You got it. One moment, Peluso. We'll give you a $50 gift certificate for Bacon Me Crazy, located on Main Street in Phoenixville. You can stop by Monday through Friday and mention ROCK to receive free coffee and 10% off your meal.
ROCK!
Not to be combined with gift certificates or any other offer, so congratulations to you. So, Chris Hardwick had severed ties with Chloe Dykstra in a lengthy text chronicling major issues in their relationship, and she pleaded to talk to him afterward to no avail even months later. These are according to text messages obtained by TMZ. Now, you know the whole story about this, that she had written an article that had indirectly pointed out Chris Hardwick as a controlling boyfriend.
Abusive.
And apparently on occasion some kind of sexual assault. And so now he's saying that none of this ever happened.
Yes.
He said he may have been a bad boyfriend, but he didn't assault anybody. But according to the text messages obtained by TMZ, Chris calls out Chloe for cheating on him with a man named Sam, saying that it's the worst thing anyone has ever done to me. By the way, she admits all that in the article.
Yeah, she does.
Chris claims Chloe led him to believe that she wanted to get back together after they broke up, but never stopped seeing Sam. Hardwick more or less tells Dykstra his long text message will be the last time that he talks to her, and declares their relationship is over. And she then sends several texts begging to talk, saying, I will always love you. According to the thread, Chloe reached out to Chris 7 months later in an apparent attempt to make up. And sources close to Chris say that it's hard to believe Chloe would try for months to get back with him if she was being emotionally and sexually abused, as she claimed last week. As TMZ reported, Hardwick denied her allegation of sexual abuse and said their breakup after a three-year relationship was a result of her cheating. They reached out to Chloe. So far, no word back. So
be curious to see how this plays out.
That's the latest in that whole thing.
And if some of the stuff that's happened is rescinded, if they start to examine this a little bit further.
Yeah, don't know.
You don't know.
The worst reviewed movie of 2018 is blaming the critics for the drubbing. The official Twitter feed for Gotti released an ad lambasting reviewers who are giving the John Travolta biopic drama about the notorious gangster. The film has earned a rare goose egg at a 0% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
It's hard to get a zero on Rotten Tomatoes. You can get a low score, but a zero is super hard.
The film, directed by Entourage's Kevin Connolly, by the way, stars John Travolta, who plays Gotti over the 3 decades. But the apparently the Twitter account said audiences loved Gotti, but critics don't want you to see it. The question is why? And there was a promo and then in a promo, the title cards declare audiences love Gotti. Critics put out the hit. Who would you trust more, yourself or a troll behind a keyboard? The audience score is higher at 75%, by the way, which isn't considered a love letter, but is leagues above the reviews, one of which calls it an incomprehensible mess of a movie. So the audience score is, you know, not great, but it's not zero.
Like initially they were going to put this directly to video, home video, on demand. And then apparently they did start to get some good reaction to it. And that's what we were saying, you know, out of the deal. Now, the algorithm that Rotten Tomatoes uses to come up with their percentages doesn't mean, you know, it's based on percentages of good ratings, and they have an idea as to what they say is a good rating as opposed to a bad rating. So that's how you ended up with the 0%. There was nothing they could find in multiple reviews that suggested anything good.
And also, Travolta really is hit or miss. I mean, he's obviously had some of the best movies of all time, but he has also had some of the worst.
Sure.
And so
Battlefield Earth.
I was going to how was he in American Crime Story? I didn't see all of it.
Pretty good. Pretty good. You know what he is if he's playing a gangster in Get Shorty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but I mean, it's a tongue in cheek gangster. It's not like a mafioso Sopranos Goodfellas gangster. You know, it's a different type of guy.
Hey, I saw a clip of the movie and he kind of came across like Gotti Barbarino.
Yeah. And
when
he's doing a caricature, like
it's so weird.
And that's what it turns into. Yeah. It turns into people making fun of Travolta rather than him trying to be a subtle actor.
Now, I love Kelly Preston, but also Kelly Preston's playing his wife in the movie as well. And apparently some of his kids are playing his kids. And I don't know, but it'll be interesting to see if this reverses the box office. I don't think it will.
I loved him as the mom in Hairspray.
You should have played Gotti as the mom in Hairspray.
Oh, my God. Wouldn't that be great? So Gotti made a paltry $1.6 million. Theories naturally abound on social media. Rotten Tomatoes, by the way, has come under fire recently. Critics wondered why Star Wars The Last Jedi received a low score following several fanboy campaigns. So, you know, it's not Bible, but some people use it, you know?
You should never... listen, if you want to see... I know how to... For example, if a comedy falls somewhere between 40 and 60%, comedy's very subjective. Something has to be just absolutely excoriated by the press before I'll write it off completely. And even then, I might see it, home video.
Well, I don't think I've ever allowed somebody else's review to sway whether or not I go see a movie.
There was a Martin Short movie called Clifford where he played like an 11-12-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. I remember calling up the theater to get the time of the screening, and the woman who answered said, "You sure you want to see this?" I'm at the theater.
Yeah.
And my wife and I were the only ones in the movie theater. Was it great? No, but I had fun.
Yeah.
And I remember it was just ripped apart by the critics.
There's plenty of movies that I like, and I've never met anybody who likes them at all.
You know, if you like it, that's all that matters.
My brother and I love Pure Luck with Martin Short.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I don't know of anybody else besides he and I that love that movie.
There was a movie called Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. I never met anybody that really liked it.
I love it.
I love that movie.
I love that movie.
It was Jude Law.
Yes. And Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
And Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, she was in it. And Giovanni Ribisi.
We had the director in the studio.
I have an autographed script that he gave me.
Shut up.
Yeah.
I will encourage you to check out that movie. This is at the beginning of CGI, entirely CGI realized sets and all that stuff.
I remember that.
It's done like a
40s. World War II? Okay.
Yeah. Only there's a mad scientist that has this evil plot and it's...
I own it.
I like it.
I have the collector's edition.
I may watch that this weekend.
Absolutely. I'll bring it in for you if you want.
No, I have it. Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow. All right, moving on. After quitting Twitter, Millie Bobby Brown is using her platform to speak out about bullying. The Stranger Things the Stranger Things star missed the 2018 MTV Movie Awards and TV Awards due to a knee injury that she had, but she did send a video message to thank fans for her best performance in a show award. The star addressed the haters who made her the subject of homophobic memes, reportedly the reason the LGBTQ supporter fled social media. She said, "Finally, since I know there are many young people watching this, and even two adults too, they could probably use the reminder that I was taught, if you don't have anything nice to say, just don't say it." And there should be no space in this world for bullying, but I'm not going to tolerate it, and neither should any of you. She said, if you need a reminder of how worthy you are and to rise above the hate, message me on Instagram, she said with a wink. She's disabled the ability of her followers to comment on her posts.
It's wild when you hear her speak because we're used to her as Eleven on Stranger Things, and she has a very British accent. Yes.
Yeah. She's really cute.
She is, yeah.
Chrissy Teigen is taking to social media to discuss her lady parts. While she recently welcomed baby number two with John Legend and managed to drum up more than $1 million for the ACLU, she still tries to find time to prioritize self-care, and she lets us know about it.
We talking douching here?
Well, something like that. The supermodel took to Instagram to share an image of herself in a face mask, sporting a heating pad around her neck, and steaming her vagina. That is correct. She captioned the shot to her 18 million followers, face mask, heat pad, vagina steam. No, I don't know if any of this works, but it can't hurt, right?
So what was on... She had a mask on her face.
Yep.
How was she steaming her vagina?
They didn't show that part.
Oh, with an iron?
Yeah, maybe. after sharing a link to the shot on Twitter, she followed it up tweeting, I said vagina. It looks so weird. I want to change it to vajayjay, but I'm going to try to be an adult about this. So why did she decide to get a vagina steam in the first place? Don't ask, she said.
Leave out the starch.
A concerned follower, Dr. Jennifer Gunter, opined that the practice is a scam and potentially harmful.
Uh-huh.
And Teigen responded to the OBGYN, what are you, an effing vagina doctor? Just kidding. I love you. Literally everything I buy is a scam. She later clarified that she and Gunter are actually friends.
Oh.
And she said, I love you. Thank you for caring about my vagina.
I turtle wax my anus.
Vagina.
I hear that is probably unnecessary.
I don't know. There any?
It's shiny.
Has it been proven otherwise?
No, and it feels so good.
Mm.
And then when I do have a turtle head poking, it's nice.
If it's good and you're not hurting anybody, go ahead, Steve.
Absolutely. You do you.
Yeah, you do you. Aja Argento is in a dark and contemplative mood. Sorry. After her boyfriend Anthony Bourdain's suicide, she reached out to fans via Instagram story, and she captioned on the story, life's a bitch, and then you die. That's like a saying out of the 80s.
Yes, absolutely.
Argento returned to work on Italy's The X Factor competition show for the first time after Bourdain's death on Monday. In another Instagram story, the Me Too activist smoked a cigarette with a friend as the Bee Gees song Stayin' Alive played in the background. She uploaded another shot of herself wearing sunglasses and a T-shirt that reads, Legends Never Die. Following his death, Argento released a statement saying, Anthony gave all of himself to everything that he did. His brilliant, fearless spirit touched and inspired so many of, and his generosity knew no bounds. He was my love, my rock, my protector, and I am beyond devastated.
The movie Triple X.
Yeah,
first one, Vin Diesel was on over the weekend, and she's the main love interest.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
As a part of the family. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help but notice you had a lot of tattoos.
Speaking of Anthony Bourdain, he's been nominated for an award posthumously from the TV Critics Association. The organization stages biannual TCA Awards series. Bourdain's Parts Unknown is up against CBS's 60 Minutes, BBC's America's Blue Planet 2, MSNBC's The Rachel Maddow Show, PBS's The Vietnam War, and Netflix's Wild Wild Country.
No Bachelor in Paradise?
No, not on this this particular run-up.
Son of a bitch.
This year, a new category has been added. Outstanding Achievement in Sketch/Variety Shows, for which Samantha Bee, Jimmy Kimmel, Seth Meyers, Stephen Colbert, and the cast of Saturday Night Live are all competing. Fran Drescher really wants to reboot The Nanny, she tells Entertainment Tonight.
It's time.
She and her ex-husband, Peter Mark Jacobson, co-created that sitcom. And she said, we're working on a very big project. It's going to be very exciting for the fans, but I'm not at liberty to announce it yet, but it's going to be big.
Were you a fan of The Nanny?
Yeah.
It was cute. I always liked her.
Yeah.
I always thought she was fun.
I thought it was a funny show.
I mean, I think we were all swept up in the fury after Dr. Detroit came out.
Yeah, that's right.
Became huge fan, Drescher fan.
That's right. She was in that. No, but she was, you know, if you can get past the voice, she's really charismatic.
She's a good comedic actress.
And she's a good comedic actress. She's very beautiful.
Great theme song.
Thank you.
The series, do we have it here?
Yep.
Sie verkaufte Hochzeitskleider und war sehr...
A lot of people forget it was in German.
It was in German.
Man, denn, doch er freund an sich ne andere und sie musste gehen. Da saß sie nun, wusste nicht wohin, ohne ihren Danny.
So
und Nanny.
Nanny.
When was this on? Because I this
like
one,
Mondays or Tuesdays.
No,
or,
I meant like what year? Because this I missed completely.
I'm gonna put this around
early 90s.
90s,
right?
Yeah, yeah,
93 to 98.
Okay.
Well, there you go. I was in college, so.
Oh yeah, you weren't.
Quickly back to the frat house. Nanny's on. Put down the cake. The nanny's on.
The series ended with her and her handsome boss, Maxwell Sheffield, Mr. Sheffield.
I had an orgasm.
Getting married and having kids. She said the thing is, our show would be the same characters 20 years later. We can't just pick up where we left off, she said. But in a way, that could be really good because the show can have a whole fresh bend.
I think
to
they
it.
Should do it, but do it like The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh my God.
With Fran Drescher. I don't know. This is very. Very restrictive.
Very oppressive.
Very oppressive. Look, these are very drab clothes.
Is it time for the ritual? Oh, my God.
Now, that's how you put a spin on the show.
That would be a spin on the show, no question. TMZ photographed Chris Pratt with the lifestyle blogger and daughter of the Terminator, Katherine Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
In a gallery of 46 shots, the pair can be seen enjoying a picnic. That's her.
That's her.
At the picnic.
That's her having an orgasm.
Jesus Christ. What is she doing?
And her eyes are flat.
Yeah. Like at the end of Total Recall.
Yeah, with, with her eyes getting
out in Mars.
Exposed to the Martian atmosphere.
So anyhow, there are pictures of them. There's 46 shots. They can be seen enjoying a picnic beneath a palm tree.
You know how sometimes you can see a photograph and you know the people are into each other?
Is this her?
This is her.
She's very attractive.
She is very attractive.
Wow, she got the best of Arnold and Maria because that could go the opposite way.
I have a feeling that somewhere along the line, the DNA was actually wringing each other out to get the best that was in there because she's a knockout.
Yeah. Although they appeared to be flirting, no PDA was recorded. Pratt and ex-wife.
This is all they got.
Are you liking this? Or?
Pratt and ex-wife Anna Faris.
You hit my G-spot.
Announced their split in August of 2017.
I want my nipples touched.
Casey and I saw Jurassic World last night with Pratt. Yeah, and it was good. If you like the first one, you'll like this one. It's silly in a lot of parts, as you would expect. But
a lot of jump scares.
I heard that this is the one more approximating a horror movie the whole.
Probably,
would you say that's true?
Yeah, and there are some legit scary moments. I think it's rated PG-13, and there's a lot of good reasons for that.
Did you notice he looked thinner in the end of the movie?
No,
you didn't notice that. I'm like, at one point, I'm like, man, I wonder how long this took and what else he was shooting, you know, while this was going on.
He's shooting, actually. He's working on A Nanny's Tale, which is the new franchise.
I love it. But apparently, these two have a thing going on, so we'll see. Where that goes. And by the way, he has a 5-year-old son named Jack with Anna Faris as well. So
he gave an extended, inspiring speech during the MTV Movie Awards. It was really nice. And one of the sections included how to cover your poop smell if you have to take a dump at a party.
Seriously? Does he use poopery, that spray that
you use? No, he recommends that you pee out everything first. You do all the peeing up front. Because the mistake that he says a lot of people do is they pee, poop, and then the smell is lingering and building.
Oh.
So that if you... This is his thing.
Okay. I see what he's saying.
Yeah.
Because then, you know, when you flush the toilet and the water goes down, that'll take in some air as well.
Yes, it will.
And...
he said it was scientific. That's all he...
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever used poopery?
I had.
It works.
The drops.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would always forget to take it.
Do you ever use an odor masking spray or something that smells worse than what you're masking?
No.
Because then you associate it with that.
Kathy, you know what I find is most with that? If you use things that are completely organic based, they tend to stink.
Because they don't work.
They don't work. Maybe because they don't work.
The best odor masking spray I had ever encountered was, and it's an orange scent.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know what I'm talking
about?
It's
like about? A citrus smell.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I agree.
I need to find that stuff. I've seen it in a couple of places, and it looked like it meant business. I look at the can, yeah. I'm like, yeah. oh my All God. Right. Yeah, this is the real deal.
But honestly, the best is just lighting a match. You know, light two matches.
I don't think
maybe.
That works at all.
Really?
Yeah.
I will light the match, but I will set a roll of toilet paper on fire.
Unless I actually see blue flame, I don't think that does anything.
No, it totally does.
All right. Duchess, agree to disagree. Duchess.
I'll agree that you're wrong.
That's wow. how it works here.
That's wow. not. That's not, that's
not
how it works. Not
no.
how it works. Yeah. Uh-huh. Duchess Meghan made her debut Tuesday at Royal Ascot, a series of horse races similar to the Kentucky Derby, except with weirder, bigger, and arguably better hats.
Wait, so are they dropping her last name now? Is she just going by Duchess Meghan?
I don't know, man. That's what it says in the story.
Yeah, no, but that's why I asked, because, you know.
I think they are, Nick.
They're going like Princess Kate and Prince William, and so maybe they're just not referring to her as Meghan Markle anymore, and if there's legit.
It's like Gerardo.
Yeah, it's like Gerardo.
You know what? I realized I just triggered Siri on my phone. because I said a series of horse races similar to the Kentucky Derby. Okay, I found this on the web for a series of horse races similar to the Kentucky Derby, except with weirder, bigger, and arguably better hats. Take a look.
are there pictures of Meghan Markle?
No, it's
or,
just got...
Or Duchess Meghan?
It's just got links to how to shop for a Kentucky Derby hat like the Super Rich, the best and biggest hats at the 2018 Kentucky Derby by Forbes, and Kentucky Derby, the biggest hats, wildest outfits, and at Churchill.
So are they ripping off a little bit the Kentucky Derby with this, or is it something that's always been part of the tradition?
Probably the other way around. This is a long-running series of
The United States has been around far longer than England.
Oh, well, yeah. I'd never realized that. So
it's a misinformation. There's. I don't know if you saw the series of pictures, and there was a little bit of footage, Preston, last week, just before all this had happened with her and Harry and so on and so forth. She had done sort of a very sexy photo spread for a magazine. Just stunning.
Yeah. By the way, she wore her third Givenchy ensemble by...
close.
I know.
Hee-Haw Presents Fashion.
That's right.
No, hey, Grandpa, what's for supper?
It's her first Givenchy ensemble by...
Givenchy or...
Is it Givenchy?
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Mm-hmm.
What is Givenchy?
Fashion house?
It's a brand.
Okay.
Then it is. Is it Givenchy? The artist?
No.
It's Givenchy is one word.
All right. There we go.
Givenchy ensemble by Clarie Wait Keller.
There you go.
Or Claire Wait Keller. Which one is it?
I don't know, man. I'm wearing a free t-shirt I got 5 years ago, so I'm not.
Come on, culture police. Tell me what to do.
I got mine through Amazon.
The designer of her wedding dress, by the way. So.
Oh.
The one was a long sleeved shirt dress with a belt and handkerchief hemline.
The shirt dress.
It's like a sock. You ever have a sock hat?
No.
Yeah.
I'd like one.
A sock
It's like
hat.
A shirt dress.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So right. The socks are connected all the way up to your hat.
It says shirt dress.
Oh, it's one piece?
It's all one word. I don't know. You know. All right. I'm quitting.
What?
No.
Wait, a shirt dress. Yes, that's correct. It's
right,
basically
that's real?
Like a button down dress.
Okay.
Yeah.
Casey was...
It's like a turtle suit.
Pronounced a different way. And
do you ever wear a turtle suit, Preston?
I follow his fashion lead. He's my lead on fashion.
Well, you are wearing a t-shirt today, so...
The hat hails from Philip Treacy, the preferred milliner of the British aristocracy.
I've got to get a milliner. It's been a while.
When
I just let
that.
My last milliner go. He was.
What is a milliner?
Somebody makes your hats.
Who works in fashion. Who works? Yeah, specializes in hats.
Specializes in
a hat maker.
Millinery. Yeah. Yes,
it's like millinery. Bobby Brown.
Okay. Would that be a milliner?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Specializes in millinery.
I had a friend. The only reason I know this is that I had a friend who graduated from college. She ended up being in the fashion industry, and that's what the first job that she got was in millinery. And I said, "What the hell is millinery?"
Wow.
She explained to me that she made hats.
Let me tell you something. Within the world of fashion, hats, it's a big industry.
Oh,
as
yeah,
are
yeah.
shoes. They're every they're every bit the thing.
Steve, one time I went to the warehouse with her. She worked outside of DC, and her job was like Rachel in Friends. She was a buyer.
And so I dated a woman who worked right. for a designer as well. Same thing.
Like we're going down this warehouse row, hat after hat after hat, and I lost interest so fast. But for her, it was, you could tell differences, and one strap looked different than the other, and it's a multi-million, maybe billion-dollar industry.
Do you know what you notice though, Preston? So I'd go with this woman to these outlets. So you'd have these top designers, where you'd pay thousands and thousands, and then you go to these. Little, you go up like a flight of stairs, make a left, there's a door like with like a little hook on it. You go inside and there's the same stuff there for like, you know, $75.
Yeah.
It's like, what?
I don't know.
I got a lesson in knockoffs the other night and, you know, you can tell a difference, how to tell the difference between a legit Louis Vuitton bag and a fake one. And it has to do with like the leather and the wearing.
Well, that one's easy. There are others that are...
To you. It's easy. I mean, to me, it's like speaking a foreign language. I can't tell the difference between any of them.
That's why they have these like knockoff parties, right? So you can go to a party at some girl's house, and it's all knockoff Louis and Coors and Spades and all of those.
No, but what I was saying, Nick, like if somebody explained it to you, the Louis Vuitton one is easy. If you know, if they explained it to you, you would know that there are others that are closely, like so close that sometimes you can't tell the difference.
Yeah, that's a good fake.
But they got the real stuff with Duchess Meghan.
It's a knockoff. Doesn't it look authentic?
Here's a spoiler for those who have never watched The Walking Dead before. But the infamous Shane Walsh, one of the earliest villains on the show, is returning to the show somehow. Shane, played by John Bernthal, was famously killed twice in the second season of The Walking Dead, first being stabbed by Rick Grimes and then shot by Rick's son Carl after Shane turned into a zombie. Despite this fact, Shane is coming back 7 seasons later. Most likely it'll be in some kind of a flashback.
I'm thinking flashbacks. He could certainly be part of Fear the Walking Dead.
Yeah, he could. So the reports come after rumors bubbled up about Shane's return to the series in a recent Instagram post that showed Bernthal in the same room as series stars Norman Reedus and Andrew Lincoln.
I like this guy, this actor.
He's great. Yeah. So he played the Punisher. Yeah. And man, oh man, is Chevitz.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
I look at his little figure every day when I go home. It's sitting on the right speaker and he's holding his machine gun. Yeah, laugh at me.
Hey, Punisher.
You're my Punisher. How are you? Punish people who are bad.
Steve, I don't see... he can't be in Fear the Walking Dead. There's no way. However...
So Rick was in a coma for a while in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And
he was taking care of the family.
Yeah, but I mean, stuff was happening. They can do anything they want.
Yeah, they can, but, you know, just timeline-wise, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah, well, there's all sorts of crossovers and stuff.
By the way, Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show, reportedly. He's Rick. He's at the end, somewhere through the next season. So, who knows, man?
There have been some major,
shakeups.
Big time. Yeah.
I have no idea where they're going to go with this.
I love it, though.
Yeah, it's a great show. I agree. Incredibles 2 keeps breaking records after earning $180 million over the weekend, the best opening ever for an animated film. The Disney Pixar product. Our production, I should say, nabbed $23.9 million on Monday alone.
What did it cost to produce, by the way? Because these things can be wildly expensive. I'm curious.
By the way, that was the best ever for an animated film, that Monday was. The previous record was set by Shrek 2, which earned $23.4 million in May of 2014.
I saw the first 30 seconds of The Incredibles 2 last night because I was in the wrong theater.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
So you went to see Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
And saw the first 30 seconds.
I was like, you know, I thought we gave away a lot of passes for Jurassic World, and this theater seems kind of empty, but they were showing previews, and I was like, I'm comfortable in my seat and had a good seat.
Here, aren't you Nick McAvoy?
I was by myself, and then the Disney Pixar thing comes up at the beginning of the movie. I'm like, wrong theater.
Wow. Sandra Bullock was never victimized by Harvey Weinstein, but she said that his reputation terrified and intimidated her. Anyway, she said, I heard about Harvey and I was afraid of him. She was talking to the Sunday Times. She said, I wasn't asked to be in that world. I learned early on to shut things off so those things didn't come my way. She said, I only heard what Harvey wanted people to hear, and that made me so effing angry. People would say, well, you know how she got that role? She effed Harvey. And I would say, shut up. You don't know that. And then later I found out that the woman was attacked. She said they didn't sleep with Harvey. Harvey wanted you to think that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Scumbag. But now he's facing actual criminal charges.
Yeah, that Weinstein had her so flummoxed that she was even frightened when several women came forward together to accuse him, worrying about their safety. She was like, oh, my God, this is amazing. But What if it doesn't work? I said, please, God, let it not swing the other way. We're in such uncharted territory right now, and I've seen a lot of fear and a lot of men of a certain generation not understanding. She also shared her own minor story of misconduct. She didn't name the person, but said that it did change the way she did business. She said it was a lesson. After that, I tended to remove anything that could be misconstrued as sexual, and I locked it down.
What did she suggest happened?
She didn't.
Okay.
She just said something, something.
Something, happened. Something, something.
And it made her realize that she needed to really watch out for herself. One last thing. MGM and Warner Brothers have shared the first poster for Creed 2. Michael B. Jordan, starring drama, is set to pit him against the son of Rocky and Apollo Creed's nemesis, Ivan Drago.
So I was not a huge fan of the fourth one, of this one.
Really?
Yeah, I loved number one, really enjoyed number two, chuckled at number three, but enjoyed it still. Number four, and then, you know, five was horrible. Balboa, amazing.
Yeah.
Creed, really, really good. I'm really looking forward to this movie because also Stallone back behind the camera.
Yeah, so, yeah, I agree. Four kind of got away from him. It got a little
just
ridiculous.
Just a bit. Just a bit.
But, I mean, people love it. You love it. If you love it as a junk food movie, then
it's
rock
a spectacle. Yeah, absolutely.
But, by the way, Sylvester...
I know some of you don't like this movie, but I don't like you none that much either.
Yeah. Stallone, Tessa Thompson, Wood Harris, Russell Hornsby, Florian Big Nasty Montano, Andre Ward, Felicia Rashad, and Dolph Lundgren also star in the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
Trailer Dolph Lundgren.
It hits today?
Yeah.
So okay. I wonder if Dolph Lundgren is playing this guy's relative.
He's got to play his dad.
Maybe.
He's got to play
maybe
Ivan Drago.
His Drago's transgendered dad.
Yes.
A Russian Caitlin.
Oh, yeah. My God. Wouldn't that be great?
I made you some borscht.
Yep.
I shot a scene with Dolph.
You used to be my father.
On the
the things have changed.
That would be so good.
The film opens November 21st, by the way.
I changed the way I am. Do I look pretty?
So the trailer drops today?
Yeah.
Okay.
It better drop today.
All right. Clips.
Yay.
Let's get to them.
You're going to have to fire them from this thing, not that thing.
Nope. Okay. Got
what
it.
What the hell's going on over there?
It's all right. We got it under control. Code Black follows the staff members in the nation's busiest emergency room as they cope with a staggering influx of patients. In this clip, Benjamin Hollingsworth talks about the new season.
We go outside the hospital a little more. We dive deeper into the characters' relationships, which is refreshing. We're like a fine wine. I think we're getting better with age.
A new episode of Code Black airs tonight, 10 p.m. on CBS. Next clip. Wahlburgers.
Ooh.
Features a behind-the-scenes look at the famous family in their Boston-based hamburger restaurant run by the eldest brother, Paul. And here Mark Wahlberg talks about filming with his kin.
This is one of the few times where it's not like work. You're sitting around with a bunch of really cool people, being creative and laughing all day and having fun.
Catch a new episode tonight, 10 p.m. on A&E. I've never watched that show.
I have.
Is it fun?
It actually is... I watched a couple episodes. It was enjoyable, but it's not something that I'm going to watch religiously.
You don't need to see it. Okay. And there you go. That's what I have for you in my entertainment report today, folks. Hope you enjoyed that.
It was wonderful.
We have things to do today. Going live on Fox Good Day, we will have Lil Rel Howery from the movie Uncle Drew in our studio a little bit later on this morning. Ladies of Hooters are supposed to stop by this morning.
That's the word.
And we have a secret text word. We have a chance to win an overnight stay at the Cambria Hotel on Broad Street in Philadelphia. Text the word secret to 39333. Let's see if you win a little bit later on. And we have a trip to Paris to give away as well. That's our word of the week prize. We'll be back with more stuff in a second. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Steve, I just saw the link you sent me. I haven't had a chance to look at it yet.
They're printing it up for you, Preston.
Yeah, we were talking earlier, and I forgot how we got on this conversation, but... We were
talking about the algorithm, Rotten Tomatoes, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and how movies are wrecking. Gotti has a zero on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
But you pointed out, and it is the truth, that, you know, you don't... It's not an absolute conclusive... Okay, this movie stinks because sometimes it'll get a low rating, but you'll enjoy the movie, you know?
And I'd pointed out, we had all pointed out a couple of movies that we loved. Nobody liked Casey, like Clifford. You liked, or no, Casey, like Pure Luck. You liked Clifford.
Clifford with Martin Short.
I'd mentioned Sky Captain and The World of Tomorrow, which came and went. And Nick said we started to get a lot of traction on the text board about movies that only you like, everybody else hates, but for some reason you love it.
Does anybody else like Short Circuit 2?
Oh, I do not.
God. You and I talked about that. Like, okay. We were kids.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So, Los Locos kick your ass. Los Locos kick your face.
Los Locos kick your balls into outer space. You're right. As everybody knows.
Everyone knows that, the chant that every movie goer will know right off the top of their heads.
But that's funny because we brought up Rocky IV, and Casey and I, there's a special part in our hearts for it. I just activated my Siri.
Going around,
bitch won't stop listening.
But you guys, as adults, I understandably didn't care for it as much, you know. But like when we saw that when we were 12 years old, we're like, oh my god, there's all this punching going on, and it's a great movie.
Yeah, by that point, I was on my third wife, and when it came out, listen, I get the enjoyment. I certainly love crappy movies. You know, there's a movie I was just talking to Preston about. A movie called Streets of Fire, it was described originally as a rock and roll fantasy.
Yeah. But the conversation started like this. He goes, "Press, last night I saw this documentary about the making of the Streets of Fire." I'm like, "You watched a documentary about the making of Streets of Fire?"
Yeah, I love making of.
But I was a sucker for that movie too.
Well, you had the Michael Paré, who was the lead actor from Eddie and the Cruisers.
Yeah,
guy who goes. He was Vin Diesel before Vin Diesel was around.
You're right.
Yeah. Completely inarticulate.
Stupid. They have
this has gotten this movie. Oh, this is going to be great.
Yeah.
And Diane Lane is directed by Walter Hill, who directed The Warriors and 48 Hours. Great. One of my favorite directors. And the movie looks really good.
Willem Dafoe's in it.
And I just love it.
Yeah.
It's not a good movie, but I love it.
I love Three Amigos. I know. Press, you know how you know, like, Tron backward and forward?
Yeah.
You can quote every line. I'm the same way with Three Amigos. I don't necessarily know if that is...
It was not a box office hit when it first came out,
but
it was not a critical hit.
It became a beloved comedy
and
film
guys,
of its era. And I know, you're not alone.
You hate Top Gun. I love it.
Are bigger movies.
Top Gun was a huge movie.
Yeah. It was a huge Clifford hit. Was not a huge hit.
Right.
I'll give you an example.
Captain Ron was not a huge hit.
That was a terrible movie.
But I love it.
You do?
I do.
I've never seen it.
Kurt Russell.
Yeah.
It's. By the way, my wife and her entire family adore Captain Ron.
Seriously?
They would have Captain Ron viewing parties. It is about this sociopathic captain who has this family. I believe Martin Short is the father of the family.
I forgot who the mom was. There was a hot mom.
She was hot. She might have been. Anyway.
She's a well-known actress. I'll
look it up. But, and it's just, for me, it's like overboard.
There's a lot of Martin Short in this equation, by the way.
Yeah. Martin,
he's done some bad movies great.
Here's the idea of Clifford. And again, to people you didn't hear a little bit earlier, when I called up to see my wife and I are huge Martin Short fans, so we call up the movie theater. You know, this is how long ago this was, to get the time for the movie. You can just, you know, go online. The woman who answers the phone in the theater at the multiplex, I want to see Clifford. When's the next screening? Sure you want to see that? Yeah. I mean, I swear to God, that's what she asked me, and my wife and I were the only two people in the theater.
By the way, Mary Kay Place was the wife.
That's
Captain Ron.
All right, what about Billy Madison?
I've never seen it.
Okay.
I've never seen
it. It's pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Kind of Adam Sandler stage.
And it's cartoony. It's a lot of that. It's baby talk. It's Adam Sandler at the height of Adam Sandler SNL era. And it's bad, but it's got Darren McGavin in it and some moments that are hilarious. And I watched it over and over in college, and therefore I love it. But it's not a good movie.
No, it is not a good movie, but it's a fun movie.
Yeah.
And I enjoy parts of it. That's My Boy.
Yeah.
Is a terrible movie.
Now, which one's that?
That's where he plays the kid, like the Mary Kay Letourneau story. Mm-hmm. So Adam Sandler, when he's a kid in school, has sex with the actress played by Susan Sarandon's daughter,
okay.
Preston, you know, super
hot. Oh, my God. She's, yeah.
And so the movie is terrible, but there are moments.
All right,
Adam Sandler will be a common factor in a lot of these films.
Yeah. I saw a text come through, and I have to agree with this, and you guys probably have never seen the movie, but Airborne.
Yes.
Airborne is, and Marissa has seen it as well.
Who's in it again?
Seth Green is in it. He plays Cousin Wiley.
Jack Black.
Jack Black is in it. Yeah. He plays, like, he's part of this, like, a-hole group of guys. Oh. And the movie is about this kid from California who has to move in with his aunt and uncle in, like, Cincinnati.
Yes. Fish out of water. So, you know, it's a common theme in a million movies. But, yeah, there's this opening scene, Case. I think it's the opening scene where they have that, they're going, like, downhill skating in the hills of Cincinnati.
Well, that's actually the closing scene.
Is it? Okay, I'm sorry.
That's,
yeah,
that's the final.
In the mountains of Cincinnati?
It's like the devil's backbone or something like that.
In the hills. This is the critical race, Steve. It's the really important part of the movie.
This is the one where he wins over all those a-holes.
Yes. This is Rad?
No.
Airborne.
Rad was bad, too. Airborne.
Somebody had texted in and said Rad. I don't remember.
But Rad came out at a time. It was a pinnacle. Like, it was mid-80s where, like, BMX biking was a
like
big...
Gleam the Cube?
Yeah, Gleam the Cube, I think, kind of led the way on that, right?
Yeah.
All right, I have a movie that wasn't that long ago that I've never met anybody who really liked it. I thought it was a sweet movie. It's called The Big Year. It's Steve Martin, Jack Black, and Owen Wilson. And it was positioned as a roaring comedy.
It is not.
It's not a comedy. It's a sweet
it's
film.
It's cute. I agree.
It's cute, and I liked it a lot.
I don't say it's about... great.
Kathy, it's about bird watchers.
Oh, jeez. I really
need
that one.
She's on board.
But I thought it was sweet, and it tanked big time, and nobody liked it.
It is a sweet. Sweet is the perfect word. It is not a guffaw-generating movie.
No, not at all. So we're getting a number of calls, 215-263-WMMR. I will go to Joe. Hey, Joe, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, Joe. What's up, bud? What do you want to throw on this list?
One movie that I absolutely love, and I've encountered people that it's either heads or tails, you love it or you hate it, is Big Trouble in Little China.
Big Trouble in Little China with Kurt Russell.
That's become a cult classic.
It's a cult classic. Yeah. So it's a John Carpenter film. It was actually released with a lot of fanfare. So it's not one of these, well, I never, you know, never heard of it, like Clifford. But it, yeah, you're right. There, you just split right down the middle on that one. Some people think it's overly cartoonish. And Kurt Russell's sort of playing a non-hero hero.
Yep.
He's positioned as a hero in the movie, but he's not really.
I love that movie so much. Now, other movies that from that time are like the Mortal Kombat movies that are so bad they're good.
Mortal Kombat?
I just love that movie. I don't know why. I just absolutely adore it.
No, dude, you're right. I have the collector's edition or whatever the hell it is, because it's over the top.
Street Fighter was a bad movie.
Street Fighter's terrible.
Oh, it was a bad
but I movie. Love it.
Do you love it?
You know what? I love... Here's one that was a terrible movie. Cliffhanger with Stallone.
Yeah. Oh,
my God.
He spends 90% of the movie on top of mountains in a wife beater.
Yeah. But it's got Lithgow, you know, and I like it.
It's terrible.
It's
but
terrible.
It's,
I like it.
You know who's in it? Your girl from
Maggie from Northern Exposure. It's the only reason I like the movie. She was hot.
Preston,
Janine Turner,
Janine
I think.
Turner, who has apparently dry eye syndrome. That's the commercials in it.
Yeah, and you know what? Rooker's in that movie, too.
Yes.
You've met my aunt Susan, and she has access to some pretty cool things in L.A. And one year she got access to a premiere, which, as we all know, they're kind of a big deal. So my mom flew out to Los Angeles, and this was like first class all the way. Right. My mom wanted to be a part of it. The movie, turns out, was one of the worst movies of all time that was ever made. And, Steve, I want to hear your impression on it, because it was Ishtar.
Now, okay.
Now, my mom loves it because she sat in the movie theater at it was either Grauman's or the one in Westwood. Doesn't matter. And she sat with my aunt, saw this movie. Dustin Hoffman was there. They sat behind O.J. and Nicole Brown Simpson. So it was a big deal, but it's apparently one of the worst movies of all time. I've never even seen it.
So I believe it's unfairly vilified. It has Dustin Hoffman and Warren Beatty. They're these sort of like club lounge entertainers, and they're in the Middle East. The story's too complex and
Charles Grodin's in it, too.
Right.
Yeah.
And Elaine May, I believe, was the writer-director.
Yeah.
And it's funnier.
I liked it.
It's fun. Right! It's a fun movie.
You know why I liked it? Because the songs they make up are so
terrible.
Bad. They're just horribly bad. But you have Hoffman and you have Beatty. And it should have been better than it was because of the name.
Of the pedigree. Yeah, but it's certainly not. Like, for example, there is a movie that is constantly pointed to. Now, this is not exactly in the realm of what we're talking about. But a movie called Heaven's Gate, directed by Michael Cimino, who directed Deer Hunter. It is considered a staggering bomb.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good movie.
I never saw it.
Yeah.
I never saw it.
So for a little while there, Arnold Schwarzenegger, he could do no wrong in my eyes.
And then The Last Action.
No, I love that movie.
Yeah.
I do. Okay. I do love that movie. And I knew you were going to say that. But that one, I don't get. I think it's a fun movie.
So you all right, so
the villain in that, like, he's really scary.
But you have to remember, that's also, again, that's a big budget movie that got a lot of press.
Yeah.
That it can be divisive. What I don't like about it is that they were just trying too hard. Like, he had the animated cat as the partner or whatever, and we got it, but it just didn't fire the way it should have.
Kathy, you got anything you want to add, or is there?
I don't.
It's mostly porn.
I think every movie I like, you guys would hate.
Yeah. Really?
Well, you like critically. There are critically acclaimed movies that come out that we love that you can't stand, like History of Violence. And Boyhood, right?
Oh, yeah, but I just didn't.
La La Land, you hated too, right?
I didn't like. No, I liked La La Land. I liked that a lot. No, the other one, Manchester by the Sea, I thought was
funny.
No, it was bored. I was bored.
I loved it, but I can clearly understand why. For example, you know, talking about Big Trouble in Little China. I completely understand why people wouldn't like it.
Yeah,
but you like
it's campy.
It, and you sort of been hushed, like, you know, like Preston, like with this. Did you see Ishtar?
Right, exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Very rarely will I meet anybody that would agree that it wasn't so bad.
Yeah.
You and I, we have that in common.
We kind of sync up on a lot of this stuff.
I'm going to go to Alyssa. Hi, Alyssa. Good morning.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Alyssa?
Nothing. Have you ever seen the movie Untamed Heart with Marissa Tomei?
Yes.
I was actually kind of obsessed with that movie for a little while, to be honest.
So was I, and I played it for my boyfriend like 2 months ago, and he said it was the worst movie he's ever seen in his life.
He is wrong.
It's a love story.
It's a sweet movie about explain the story, Preston. Christian Slater's in it as well.
By the way, I fell in love with her.
Yeah, Marissa Tomei
from that movie. they live in Minnesota. She's a girl who can't find a guy. She just has a bad boyfriend experience left and right. And she meets this guy that works at the diner where she works. He's a dishwasher. He doesn't speak to anybody. He was an orphan. He had a heart problem.
Right.
And they're an unlikely couple that end up together. He saves her from being raped.
And doesn't he believe
these orphans told these nuns in the orphanage told him that he had a baboon heart.
Yeah.
This woman had told him this story and over and over when he was a little boy that his father was a great adventurer and that he tried to steal these enchanted rubies from the gorilla king, from the baboon king.
Just to engage the kid and keep him.
Yeah. And he believed, and he had actually had a heart transplant, but he believed that he had a baboon heart, but he was an orphan and he didn't know any better, and it's a sweet story.
It
is of pure love, and that's it. So that's what it's about.
Alyssa, it's a good movie.
Yeah.
So can you just call out him?
What's
his name?
Let him know he's got bad taste.
What's his name, Alyssa?
Tim.
You're a horrible person.
Yeah. And you have the best girlfriend in the world.
Yes, you do.
Yeah. Buy her something.
She knows what love means.
Yes.
I fell in love with Marissa Tomei in that movie. No question.
What about Topic, Cutting Edge?
Topic. That movie too.
I know. I loved that movie.
I like that movie too.
It's great.
What's not to love?
I'm a softie. I am.
Ice Castles.
Oh, man. Ice Castles.
She's blind. How's she doing that?
How did she do that?
Oh.
What?
Did she fall over the...
Yeah, the flowers.
The rose.
Okay. She goes flying into a wood chipper.
Steve. Jeez. Yeah. How about this? Made for TV movie. The Other Side of the Mountain.
I love that movie. I love that movie.
It sounds familiar.
The skier.
Yeah.
Yes. 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 Yes.
She becomes paralyzed.
Oh
yes.
My God.
My sister loved
movie. We taped that off of TV on the VHS.
Where's my other side of the mouth?
All right. Let me.
I used it for the graduation video.
Let me go to. All right. I'm going to go to some unlikely ones. Ones we haven't heard before. Hi, Eric. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Nick.
Yeah.
I love you.
Oh, wow. It's beautiful.
That was special. Eric, a movie that you love that you really don't know anybody that likes.
I get so much crap for this, but 1993's Super Mario Brothers starring John Leguizamo as Luigi and Bob Hoskins as Mario.
Yeah. Yeah. By the way, you also have a Dennis Hopper.
It's pretty bad.
It is horrible and wonderful. Okay. You picked a perfect choice, Eric.
And it's so much better when you realize how much Bob Hoskins hated making that movie.
Well,
there's a quote from him from an interview where he's talking about the directors. He says that their arrogance was his taste for talent, and that it was an effing nightmare, effing idiot.
Wow.
One of my favorite quotes of all time.
So that movie, Preston, you brought up Street Fighter.
Thanks, Eric.
It's a similar. So Street Fighter was a little bit more dramatic in tone, obviously, but still laughable. But it's just this movie is a mishmash of crap. This is when they were still trying to figure out how to port popular video games into successful movies.
Right.
They must have spent dozens of dollars on the special effects.
I never made it all the way through it.
It's horrible and wonderful.
And I love the girl, the main character. I forgot the actress's name. I have a total crush on her. I forgot who she was.
I saw a text came through about a movie that I really didn't like. I wasn't sure if you guys would. The only thing I liked was Dan Aykroyd's penis nose, but Nothing But Trouble. Do you remember that movie? It had all of the heavy hitter comedic actors in. It was like Aykroyd and Chevy Chase.
What's the plot? What's the plot?
There's like a haunted house involved, right?
Yeah, kind of. So what happens is Chevy Chase's like car breaks down.
Right. Now I do remember it. It's
continue. What was it?
So the car breaks down, so that they have to go to this house, and inside the house, it's like really weird, creepy people, and you know, like you said, kind of haunted house stuff going on.
Demi Moore and John Candy were in it too.
Yes,
I didn't like that one.
It's horrible.
Interesting.
You know, it's one that's similar to that, Preston. Huh. The one where Modern Problems.
Yep.
Where he gets doused, Chevy Chase gets doused as, you know, radioactive liquids do wonderful things for you if you watch the movies. So it basically gives him all these incredible powers.
Yeah.
It's like Zapped.
Yeah, Dabney Coleman was in
it. Right,
right. I liked it. It was, you know.
It's crap, but it's fun crap.
I think there's one that I like that you guys don't, but I don't remember if you do or not. The Burbs?
Yes, I just watched it.
Okay.
I watched it last weekend.
Right.
It's with Tom Hanks.
Tom Hanks, yeah.
And Bruce Dern.
Yeah, yep. And Henry Gibson.
And Corey Feldman.
Yes.
Corey Feldman's the young rock kid.
That's right. Yeah, you're right. Let me go to John. John, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, buddy?
Horrible, horrible movie from the early 90s, mm-hmm. but one of my favorites, North Shore.
It's not a horrible movie.
I love North Shore.
I have not seen North Shore.
I wanted to move to Hawaii, man. Laird Hamilton plays the main bad character in that
really?
Movie. Yeah.
Who's the main good guy?
Burkhart was his name. Burkhart breaks boards, Hallie, like for fun. I could quote that movie left and right. The main character is a kid who you know. He was in that movie with Corey Feldman where he was... Oh, man.
Is this it, Preston? Is it 1987 North Shore?
Yeah, that's it.
Who is it? Nia?
Scroll down. Matt Adler is the main character's name. Gregory Harrison is in it. He plays his mentor.
Gregory Harrison.
But you'll recognize this kid, Steve. We're looking at a video of the film here, and he's... they're not showing him, of course, right now.
I know who it is.
He was in...
He was in Teen Wolf, right?
No.
Was he in the TV?
Oh, yeah, he was. He was his friend.
Yeah, he was a friend who was like,
I don't know this guy.
Yeah.
I think he was in the TV version of
Dream a Little Dream. That's the movie he was in.
Okay.
He was a bad guy in Dream a Little Dream. John, you're not alone. I like that movie.
How dumb is that kid? Who?
Oh, yeah. Hey, he's an idiot. No, you're right.
He went to wave pool contest for surfing, and then he's like, hey, let's go to Hawaii.
Yeah, let's surf Oahu, the North Shore.
It's got to be exactly the same.
But you know who's in it? Who the gorgeous girl.
Nia Peoples?
Nia Peoples is in it.
Peoples is Peoples.
Yeah. She's phenomenal.
This made me think of, and I can't remember the name of the movie, but of Bethany Hamilton, the girl who got her arm. What's the name?
Soul Surfer.
Soul Surfer.
I mean, I watched
it
1,000 times because Jace was so into it, but I actually like it.
It is a wonderful movie.
I like it. We'll go
and
next.
And you know, it's Hercules who saves her at the beach, Kevin Sorbo.
You're right.
Yeah.
Andrew's on the line. Hey, Andrew, good morning.
Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, Andrew. What's up, bud?
I'm a huge Sean Connery movie fan, but a lot of people gave me slack for The League of Extraordinary Gentlemen with Sean Connery.
It was ripped apart. I love it.
I love it, too.
I love it.
I think it was one of his last films because I think it was a bust, and it was entertaining. It was funny. It was a lot of action.
I never gave it the time of day.
By the way, Alan Moore was the one who wrote that.
He wrote it.
The graphic novel.
Hated the movie.
Yeah, of course.
He hates everything, but I agree. It has By the way, it has some great special effects.
Yeah.
It has the story is you have Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. You have Dracula's Bride.
Yeah, you have Alan Quatermain.
Who was the girl that was really cute in that movie? The Dracula chick, the Dracula girl.
Yeah, that's Peta
Wilson?
Yeah, from...
Peta Wilson, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's her name.
Yeah, and then you have Captain Nemo and Tom Sawyer.
Yep.
And a lot of these literary characters, and they all come together.
Kanye West was in that movie, actually. I think he was...
Yes, he was. He was the guy with the rifle. He was the actual. He was
Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer. Working with Quatermain.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cool movie. Yeah,
I loved my favorite character in that was Captain Nemo. Actually,
yeah.
All right, thanks, man. You're not alone.
You're not alone.
You people are not alone.
Should I make the call? Because I know it's you might as well. It's almost like picking up someone at a bar. Did you ever see League of Extraordinary Gentlemen? We have something in common.
A horrible movie that only you like amongst your friends. I'm going to go to Ryan next. Hey, Ryan.
Hey, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks, buddy. All right, go ahead. Confess.
Okay, so I might just because like, I'm like 28 right now. I think everyone who's like my age, the Space Jam is probably objectively bad, but I love it.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, it's of your age, you know, so it's kind of like you didn't know any better.
Well, there were movies that were targeted for me when I was at a various age that I thought stunk. I mean, I was always able. But to me, you know me, I just love movies and I embrace crappy movies. Space Jam was one I could not get into because I was such a core Looney Tunes fan of the original.
Yeah.
And it was sort of a hybrid.
Yeah.
While I appreciated what they were doing, and this is if you're talking about, you know, combining live animation, live actors with animation, they did a great job, but it just did nothing for me.
Yeah. But you liked it.
You
Ryan.
Like it. That's all that matters.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't care for the bastardization of those characters that I love so much.
Were there like Who Framed Roger Rabbit? They got a little bit closer to the original source stuff.
Right.
There were sequels to Space Jam, were there not?
I think so.
Was there one sequel or another?
I think there was.
And then they were talking about remaking it with LeBron.
Yeah. Chuck D'Amico has texted me several movies.
Why is he walking down here?
I don't know. Maybe he's downstairs. Ford Fairlane, he says, guilty pleasure.
Ford Fairlane has Gilbert Gottfried playing a shock jock, Howard Stern type DJ that we call shock jock. It's terrible. I do like it as well. That movie was directed, by the way, Preston, by Rennie Harlan, who directed Die Hard 2, but also directed a really crappy pirate movie called Cutthroat Island.
I don't remember.
With Gina Davis.
That was one of the biggest
bombs. Matthew
bombs.
Modine. Yeah. It was a huge bomb.
By the way, I don't like Die Hard 2.
I love it.
Do.
I didn't mind Die Hard
2. Pack 'em, rack 'em, and stack 'em, man.
All right, here's a couple other from Chuck. Talk Radio. I liked it just because I was into radio.
And it's a good movie.
And Clue, he says.
I like Clue.
I like Clue.
It's a fun movie. Somebody texted in and said the movie Jack Frost.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
With Michael Keaton.
Oh,
It's terrible.
Oh, it's horrible.
Yeah.
Am I
fondly remembering it or am I loathing it? I'm trying to figure out where I stand on that. Maybe I enjoyed it a little bit.
Let's see. Who's been on hold a long time? All right. I'll go to, let me go to Tyler. Hey, Tyler, good morning.
Hey, good morning to you guys. You rock, man.
Thanks, man.
Oh!
What's the movie that only you like?
So I don't know if any of you guys have heard of this. I think it was made for TV. It was late 80s, early 90s. It's called Chakma.
What is it?
Chakma?
Yeah, Chakma. It's about a crew of hospital workers working late night. They're playing like some radio D&D game, and a murderous baboon goes on a rampage.
Dude, I'm on board. Yeah. I am on board.
You had me at murderous bamboo.
Yeah, baboons.
Even bamboo would be cool.
I thought you said bamboo.
No, baboons.
Oh. This is the slowest monster I've ever seen.
I have never heard of that. Interesting. Okay.
Chakma.
Yeah, I highly recommend you look it up. It's a great
All right.
movie.
Done deal.
I'm ordering it right now on Amazon.
Thanks, Tyler. He's probably not kidding about that. Interesting. Thank you for being on hold, gang. We're not going to be able to get to your calls. We've got to take a break because we've got to go on Fox. But here's a list of other ones that people are saying. Kung Pao, Enter the Fist.
Yes, that's...
Dream a Little Dream. I'm going to do these before they disappear. Thunderball, Mystery Men, Snakes on a Plane, and The Labyrinth.
Those are all good choices.
Yeah. What is this for bird watching Oreo creating listener? Oh, the guy who created the Oreo said, Preston, The Big Year was based on a true story. My friend Greg Miller is actually the guy who Jack Black portrays in the movie.
Wow.
This is the guy we had in for Not Your Average Listener. He created that that Oreo flavor.
Yeah. Did he win?
He said, thanks for putting a smile on my face. Now I got to watch it tonight. I don't know. Did you ever win the money, dude? We need to find out. Dave, let us know. All right. Anyhow, thought it was an interesting conversation. Gotti, 0% at Rotten Tomatoes. But you never know. It might be one of your favorite movies.
Absolutely.
Who knows? All right. We got to take a break. We'll come back in a moment. And we're going live on Fox Good Day. We'll be back with that in a sec. And the Beat Files. Stay put.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Judy Kim in The Assassination. Celebrating our area's best talent. Bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Click Local Shots at WMMR.com to see and hear more. Judy Kim in The Assassination, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Yeah, so we got a couple of minutes to play with before we go live on Fox Good Day. Steve, this would be a good opportunity to mention the Mac Fund event that's going on tomorrow night.
Well, thank you.
Moshulu.
The Moshulu, yes. You know, I've been pronouncing it wrong over the years. It's the Moshulu. I never knew that, but I'm going to continue to call it the Moshulu.
It's a Moshulu.
Yes. So tomorrow night from 6 to 9, it is the Mac Fund presented by Pet Plan Insurance. And really, we would love to see you come to Brisk. By the way, Preston, ticket sales are moving, which is really good. But there's going to be a whole bunch of entertainers, wandering entertainers, like, you know, magicians and tarot card readers and so on and so forth, plus a whole bunch of complimentary booze that'll be available. There's also not an open bar, but a cash bar, but there'll be other people providing booze at the ready from people like Yards and Chadsford Winery and all of this stuff. So if you come on out, we'd love to see you. All the money raised will benefit the Mac Fund, which is providing financial resources to TNR programs, which helps keep the cat population in check and allows animals that are currently in shelters to be adopted out. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And our friends at Arm & Hammer, if you order online, we're going to have to end it tomorrow morning early. If you order online, get your tickets online, they will pay for your parking at the Moshulu parking lot. Nice. And we'd love to see you out there. It's tomorrow night from 6 to 9. Right. Thank you.
You bet, man. Reminder that we do have a secret text word, and it's your chance to win an overnight stay at the Cambria Hotel on Broad Street. And it's now open. Modern local design, upscale amenities, several restaurants, craft beer. And you can visit choicehotels.com/Cambria to book your stay. Now, if you would like to win, it's very simple. Text the word secret. Very noisy microphone for me. Text the word secret to 39333. We're going to bounce a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with that word. Designate a caller wins that. And we'll grab a random texter and give one of those away as well. We do that type of thing every Wednesday. So text the word secret to 39333. And I also want to mention, because we have a number of cool things this week, a trip to Paris that we are giving away for the premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout. That's for the letter of the day, word of the week prize. We get the letter at the end of the show. We will give that away on Friday. So we're getting close. Don't want you to miss out on it. So make sure you're listening to the end of the program. And tomorrow's the last day to vote for Philly's hottest.
Yeah, oh my God.
Daisy Dukes and Cowboy Boots and Cowtown Cowboy Outfitters, our sponsor this time around, giving away some great prizes as well as Steven Singer Jewelers. So go to PrestonandSteve.com. Vote on that now. We need you to do that because tomorrow is the deadline for that. And the ladies look fabulous. And we got some great prizes. So don't miss. Music means you're going live on Fox Good Day. So let's do that.
Ooh, good song.
Yep.
Preston and Steve, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
We saw this survey about waiting in line for things and waiting. It can be stressful. Apparently, people are just as stressed at the front of the line as they are at the back because they feel guilty. I don't know that I feel guilty that I'm up front.
No.
Don't they usually usher you to the front of the line anyway, Mike?
Right. Well, there is that.
There you go. Mr. Jarek is here. Quickly.
Yeah.
So sorry to keep you here with the riffraff.
If I've legitimately been waiting and I've been there ahead of everyone else, I never feel guilt about that.
You invested your time. Yeah. You did your due diligence.
I earned it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, hold on.
What?
Preston, what was the last thing you stood in line for.
You stood in line for 3 hours to meet Mike Jerrick.
Is that how long the line is for that?
No, here, I tell you where. Now, standing in long lines is usually for an amusement park ride or something like that. You know, if I've gone to Disney with the family or wherever it is, and you end up, you know, you're at the end of the line at some point. And you've paid your due by making it all the way to the front. And some of those you can wait in line for a couple of hours. But as far as like something that has a specific starting
that's
time,
so important to you.
I waited for 5 hours to get tickets to see Dave Coulier in Hamilton.
Wow.
Really?
And I admit that was probably a waste of time.
Thing is, I feel guilty whenever there's one of your friends or your family member is in line and they're telling you, hey, come up, move to the front with me. Ooh. Then I start to feel bad.
Are you not a good cutter?
Like, I don't want to walk past that. All these people and get those dirty looks.
No. Do you know what, though, guys? I've done my line waiting time, and now there are certainly enough ways to, you know, like, for example, you do go to an amusement park, you can get that thing where they alert you so you're not waiting in line. It's a fast pass and stuff like that. I mean, if you have the ability to do that. I can't stand lines. I've done it too much now.
I have paid extra for, you know, things like concierge services.
And here it comes, the privilege. Admission of privilege.
And you get to cut in front of absolutely everybody in line. I do feel a little remorseful.
Tell them how you pick someone in the line to have them dragged out and beaten. That's always good too.
But I paid money.
I know
for that service.
Uh-huh. I don't like that guy's shirt.
I do take advantage of one thing. But at the airport, they'll recognize me.
Oh.
They'll take me all the way past the TSA.
That's another thing you can pay for.
I feel weird about it, but I'm.
You can pay for that as well, though. If you, I think it's like $80 for TSA clearance. So it's pre-check. Pre-check. Yeah.
But Steve, can you use that voice all the time? I really.
Oh yeah.
This is the Echo voice.
This is the devil voice.
Good day, everybody. See you guys tomorrow.
All right, see you. They got to go.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Let's play around with the voices another time. We'll do that later.
I will say, though, this isn't always, but at Rita's Water Ice, when they have like three windows, there really should just be one line. And then when the next window opens, that the person in the front of the line goes to that window rather than having three separate lines, because that's when I get most anxious. I choose, like, the shortest line and it ends up taking the longest. It's like toll booths, you know? It's like, oh, I'm going to go behind this car because there's only one car in this toll line.
I see people, though, start to freak out if you get into a line at like the Acme or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It's fine. You know, it'll be over. The thing I can't stand is if I go into a restaurant and there's a line in there, or there's like an hour and 20 minute wait. No, there are other restaurants on earth. I can go to those. Yeah. And I don't suffer those, you know, well.
I had a line thing. This is a little bit off topic, but I have to mention it because I was enraged yesterday. I know you guys, I've told you before, I've got a handle on road rage and it doesn't really bother me anymore. But this dude pulled this massive illegal maneuver yesterday and it really bothered me. I'm at, and you'll know this area, Casey, and you as well too, Nick, I think you might in college, Phil. I was on Route 29, turning right onto, I think it's Ridge Pike. But anyway, so I'm in the right lane, turn only lane. I'm the first one up. It's a red light. It's got a right turn signal, which means if it's red, that's no turn on red.
That's what that means.
Okay, so I'm sitting there and there's a line of cars behind me. There's at least 5, 6, 7 cars behind me.
Yeah.
Some douchebag comes up the left side of us all, goes around every one of us and just right through the red light and makes a right. And
where are the cops? Where are the cops?
I know.
What an a-hole.
But just about 100 yards up is another red light. Mm-hmm. They decided to stop at that one. So I pulled up next to him and my daughter was sitting next to me.
Did you ever roll down the window?
I leaned on the horn
and
I wasn't going to flip him off or yell any curses or anything like that. I just wanted to get eye
contact. Sweetie, you curse him out.
So I thought about showing her how to flip him off. Because how funny would that
be? Yeah.
Anyway, but I pull up and I lean on the horn and his wife or who was ever in the next to him leans over and looks at me and I put my hands up like, what the hell?
You know?
And that's just like, why? And the guy would not turn he knew.
What a coward. Oh,
he would not turn to face me at all. And I wasn't going to,
No.
I was just going to say, why are you stopping at this red light
yeah.
when the other one didn't matter at all to you?
I know.
And I would have said at all with a hard T like
yeah.
that. At all. I don't get it. And that's waiting in line as well, I think. But this guy wanted
to cut
waiting,
in line.
Waiting for your, yes. For
wait
example,
your turn.
A car, you pull up to a car, you pull up at an intersection and the car in front of you last second puts on its blinker to turn. Okay, I got that. You technically, behind that car, are next in line to go around the car. When you see somebody immediately, like three cars back, cut the wheel and go zooming past you, there's a bit of protocol, yeah. I think.
Yeah.
You know, now if they're not moving, then I will move out and cut around them. But these are certain things that are unsaid, but that are accepted truths.
Respect the line no matter what. If you're in a car, if you're standing in line, whatever it is, it's just out of respect for other people. I hope that douchebag is listening. Right
now. Yeah. And listen, if there you're two people at a supermarket, you can't wait in two different lines and go to whichever one you
can't.
Unless you're schizophrenic.
You pick it, it's luck of the draw.
Yep.
Damn it, I got in the longer one. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know this person in front of me was going to have a coupon issue. Oh, well.
Right. Yeah. One last thing, and then we'll just...
Marissa's got a thing, too.
All right, so second to last thing. If you are online, say at the Wawa, all right, and you are three or four people, five people back, let's say the line is long and they call for help. When that cashier comes over to start helping on the other side,
next person,
the person who was next,
they get the
option. Don't care how inconvenient it is for you five or six back, that person is now next.
Yes.
And they at least have to be apprised of it. If they pass on it, that's their prerogative.
Literally everybody in front of you gets first right of refusal over you.
Right.
You okay. Go. And because when that happens to me,
what you usually do,
I will say to everybody in line, hey, is anybody going to do this? Is anybody going to go over
simple
there?
Simple procedure.
Yeah.
I have everyone write their names down on a little piece of paper. Put them in a hat. And then we pull out a name.
All right, Marissa.
Do not use an ambulance to get through traffic.
Oh, my God. 100%.
Oh, dude, that's like bad karma. Are you really?
Of course you are.
Yes. Yep. I used to do it when I used to work in the city.
I hope you're saying a prayer for the people in the ambulance.
Absolutely. I pray as I go behind them. When I worked at 20th and Spring Garden years ago, I had to go from Bucks County into the city, and I would sit. It would take me about 2 hours to get to work. Anytime an ambulance or police officer came by, I was right behind them.
You know, she told me she'd also call an ambulance for herself, and when it pulled up, pick a hospital that was near where she wanted to go, and when it pulled up, she'd run out.
Wait, why is that so bad? After the ambulance passes?
It's illegal.
What's
it's
illegal?
Illegal.
What?
It
illegal?
You're not supposed to tail an ambulance.
I'm not tailing it, but now the lane's open. It's time for us to go.
Kathy,
the ambulance is already through. I'm not blocking the ambulance.
I love you as a person, but you're an inconsiderate driver. I've seen you drive. You are. It's just the way you operate.
I can't even imagine the amount of people you've killed.
Oh, God, stop it.
And I do not do Easy Pass. And for some reason.
You do you.
I'm going to do me. All right. And for some reason, this happens to me all the time where I choose the toll line to go through that has the least amount of cars.
Yeah.
And the people either A, don't have their toll money ready. OK, you know, you're going to be going through a toll, you know, have your money in your pocket at least or you know, just have it ready. All right. Or let's not get into a conversation with a toll booth worker, right? Like, maybe you're asking for directions or whatever, but you have direction stuff on your...
What's that big roller coaster park in Ohio?
Yeah.
I
can't stand it. I can't stand it, and it happens to me more than
honestly,
I think anybody else.
I held out, but I finally got the Easy Pass.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Let them track me. It's fine. Awesome.
Well, they can track you anyway.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Alexa will call them up and tell them when I've left, and then they can follow me with the Easy Pass.
All right, everybody, deep breath. Let it out.
Casey, I got an ice cream place for you. That's the one line and the multiple windows.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where?
It's a secret.
Okay.
All right, let's do the bizarre file.
No. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, and this morning, the Bizarre File is brought to you by Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Looking to party with the hottest girls in Bucks County? Then come party with the ladies of Scruples Gentlemen's Club. Enjoy happy hour specials and visit gotscruples.com for more information. I'm going to start with one from the world of sports, which is kind of interesting. But I think this is just, I can't believe it got this far. The Ottawa Senators announced that they have traded forward Mike Hoffman to the San Jose Sharks after allegations that his fiance harassed Captain Erik Karlsson's wife. You see this?
No.
Listen to this. So the Senators sent Hoffman to San Jose in exchange for forward Mikael Boedeker. Ottawa General Manager Pierre Dorion said that the move was made with the intent of improving chemistry, leadership, and character in the locker room and on the ice. Hoffman, averaging 26 goals per season over the past four seasons, has been far more productive than Boettiker, who they're getting in their careers. But his trade value was diminished by accusations that his fiance, Monica Carrick, have been accused of cyberbullying Melinda Carlson, the wife of Erik Karlsson. So Melinda Carlson, the wife of Erik, has sought a protection order against this girlfriend, Monica, or this fiance, Monica Carrick, Hoffman's fiance, amid allegations that Carrick, quote, uttered numerous statements wishing my unborn child dead.
What? So this guy, okay, so one, this player, his girlfriend,
yeah,
is
harassing the wife of the captain of the team, or one of the stars of the team.
Bitches, man.
So the Carlson's first child, a son named Alex, was stillborn in March. And after that occurred, derogatory comments about Melissa were still being posted through social media by this woman. Hoffman subsequently denied the allegations in a statement to the newspaper, and the Senators released a statement saying that they would investigate the matter in conjunction with the NHL.
Okay, so these were, and they were saying these were burner accounts that they...
I don't know anything
about social
media?
Accounts.
I don't
know. Okay, so we're watching a little story here, so this apparently was a multi-prong effort on her part, Preston.
Yeah, so I thought that was kind of weird, and it's right there in professional sports.
Could you imagine? What did you do?
I can't believe they made this public, because you hear stories about girlfriends and wives and players dabbling and things like that from time to time, and there are a lot of great rumors.
I hear you, brother.
And stories from the past.
That's why I honestly never had this issue with little boys.
But this one is public.
Well, they were asking for a restraining order against this woman, so you know it's gotten into the legal system. Police in Arizona thought they were busting an ordinary case of fraudulent return this week until some digging discovered the same 23-year-old man has perpetrated the scheme at thousands of Walmart stores across the country.
To the tune of what?
Well, I'll get to that. So police in Yuma, Arizona said they responded to a case of a fraudulent return on Wednesday afternoon in which a person bringing a computer back to Walmart had allegedly removed parts of the computer before putting it back in the box and then taking it to the store. And upon investigation, the police department found out the same man had pulled the same scheme at different Walmarts early in the day. The guy's name is Thomas Frutiger. He was arrested and booked into the detention facility, and they say that he pulled similar schemes at more than 1,000 Walmart stores across the country over the past 18 months, Steve, caused a monetary loss of approximately $1.3 million to Walmart.
It's staggering. He was removing pieces, returning the computers at 1,000 Walmarts.
Yeah.
So we have to assume he's traveling across many states.
All over the place. So it was 18 months that this spree went on. He was charged with 6 felonies, so he's facing some pretty serious charges.
$1.3 million.
Yeah. And this is sad. That they forced this bear to do. Anyway, an angry performing bear attacked its handlers because it was forced to ride on a skateboard and beaten with a stick at a circus in Russia.
Alas, poor Yorick. I knew him well.
Children in the audience screamed as the animal turned on its keepers moments after riding down a ramp during a performance.
Enough!
Yeah, and that's it.
Come on, man! I'm a goddamn bear!
At a village in Russia, despite desperate members of staff tried to beat the brown bear with sticks as it pinned a colleague to the ground.
Is everyone enjoying circus?
Spectators said that that it was clearly agitated and wanted to leave the arena and became aggressive with its female handler.
Listen, I'm sorry how I got out there. It's just the act, the grind, the road, everything's getting to me.
A male member of the traveling circus troupe then repeatedly struck the animal with a stick, but this only enraged the animal more.
Well, what animal doesn't love to be beaten with a stick?
Yeah, after being forced to ride a skateboard.
Tear him up.
The predator overpowered the man, knocking him down and attacking him on the floor of the circus ring. Scared spectators were just a few feet away, apparently with no barriers between them and the out-of-control bear. Two women handlers then beat the animal with sticks and tried to drag the beast away. The man finally managed to get to his feet, evidently without serious injury. A local woman, Anastasia Michera, said, "My relatives and their little son went to the show. They sat in the front row. When they announced the performance of a bear visionary or something of that kind, a relative wanted to take a video closer to the exit. And even on the video, it's clear the animal was nervous, reluctantly slipping off the ramp. The animal wanted to leave, but he was pulled back."
Terrific.
Yes.
Depressing. There are things like this around the world. Yep. These fly-by-night circuses and zoos that are just mistreating animals like crazy.
I said, I hope that the relevant authorities will conduct a check and understand what is going on in this circus.
Yeah. Don't do... You know what? Let the bear come out and, like, sing Billy Preston songs or something, right?
Yeah.
Something from nothing leaves nothing. You gotta have something if you want to be a bear. I'm a podio. Thank you. You there with the fish hat on.
All right, and then one last story. Forget about extreme plastic surgery, tattoos, and piercings. A minority, and you may have heard of this before, are taking body modification to the next level by voluntarily cutting off their own limbs.
What? Yes, I heard of this.
A body modifier has exclusively revealed how his, quote, extra limbs feel alien and has resorted to the drastic measure of self-mutilation because he actually wants to be disabled. Dr. Michael First, a professional of psychiatry at Columbia University, has led investigations into this bizarre and extreme rare psychiatric condition.
They say it's abnormal, correct?
Which he is calling body integrity identity disorder, or BIID. Also known as amputee identity disorder, it gives people a fierce desire to rid themselves of perfectly healthy limbs.
Can you imagine that? Mindset?
A sufferer named Howard Bull, who's 54, said, I had been experimenting with crippling my toes for a few years, breaking, freezing, and smashing them.
Oh, my God.
I broke my big toe last May after binding it with a lot of bandage and then hitting it with a hammer. I never let it heal, and by July, I had to go to the hospital because the pain was unbearable. However, not to be dissuaded, Howard set to work on his second toe. He said, I froze it twice with keyboard cleaner and crushed it with a vise before additionally dislocating it.
The pain is,
he said, the pain is part of the process. And now I'm working on my third toe. It's bent at an angle towards where the others used to be.
Can someone intercede here and stop him from this?
And he said that he has a very grisly goal. He said, what I really want is to lose my left leg high above my knee. Asked about the condition's cause, he replies, I believe that I've always had BIID, but I do remember a trigger. I was around 10 when I saw an old Vincent Price movie which showed a guy who lost all his limbs one by one, and I thought, how fascinating. Dr. First is among a small group of psychologists and psychiatrists who are trying to define the disorder, understand its origins, and decide whether to include it in the Encyclopediatric Bible of Psychiatry as a fully fledged disease. The disorder has led some to injure themselves with guns or chainsaws in separate efforts to force surgical amputations, and some have even been known to lay across train tracks to achieve their ambitions.
This never would have happened had the guy seen Sky Captain as a kid.
The future looks bleak for sufferers, explains Dr. First. It remains extremely rare for people with BIID to seek help from any health practitioner because of the awareness that the medical profession has little help to offer.
What do you do? And is it someone's legal right
to cut off their own
limbs?
I don't know, man. Self-mutilation. It's bizarre.
Never would have happened if he got into Fortnite.
All right, that's what I got in the B-Fog for you. Nick, you got a follow-up?
Yeah, just a quick follow-up on that Mike Hoffman story. The Sharks subsequently traded the guy to Florida, so he was not even with the Sharks for like a day.
Oh.
And they moved him as well. So I don't know if it had anything to do with the allegations.
Is your girlfriend coming?
Right, or if it was just
In the story,
salary considerations.
The part that I didn't read, they said that it's been tough to move him.
I'm sure.
His trade value has gone way down because of that.
Yeah, so now he'll be playing for Florida this year.
It might be time to break up with this.
That was a topic of conversation you had a while back about something else. My wife or my significant other messed something up, Casey. Remember we were talking about
because
that.
It was with the Colangelo stuff for the Sixers. Wives getting involved in...
Yeah. What about the story you had about the was it the clarinet player who
the girlfriend
mm-hmm. stopped him from getting a life-changing opportunity to play at some conservatory or
wrote a fake rejection letter when he actually was accepted into it.
And the court awarded him $300,000 in damages?
Bitches, man.
Bitches, right? Man, that's why, honestly, little boys, did I say that?
That's Michael Jackson, by the way.
Bitches, man.
No.
Bitches.
It can be guys do stupid stuff all the time, too. But anyway.
Dudes, man.
Dudes. All right, we got to take a break.
People.
I would like to give away. Which one of these things should I give away?
You know what? So Marissa's got the Sunday Funday thing going on.
Done deal.
Let's do that.
Yeah, the Spirit of Philadelphia. You were just there this past Sunday, right, Marissa? No? It's this
couple of weeks.
Okay. Sunday, yeah, June 24th. That's when it's coming up on the Spirit of Philadelphia. And you can join Marissa there. We'll take caller number 18. And let's see. I'm seeing if you have to be 21 or not. It doesn't say here. But it's great. Way to chill. Keep the weekend fun. Going with a tasty menu. Bloody Marys, mimosas, new outdoor bar. Plus enjoy scenic views from the river, games, prizes, and more. Taking place for tickets and information, you can visit spiritcruises.com. So call right now. I think I said caller 17. 215-263-WMMR. We'll set you up. Three lovely ladies from Hooters. Kathy, who are our ladies from Hooters? Do we have their names yet?
Jackie, Brittany, and Anissa.
And yes, we thank them for being here. We'll do some more giveaways in conjunction with them. We're also going to have Lorel Howery. If you saw the movie Get Out, he's the funniest part of the movie. He's fantastic. And he is promoting the film Uncle Drew, which is coming up in theaters on June 29th. He'll be in our studio. Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, more with Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Before we get into anything else, we have an announcement, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, may I get a drum roll, please? Exciting news. We have a good friend who's here with us, and it has to do with Festival Pier.
Which is awesome.
It is, and it has to do with Yards Brewing Company.
Which is awesome-er.
And they have brewed an exclusive IPA for Live Nation shows at Festival Pier.
Really? Yeah.
That is very cool.
Beer is good. Beer is good. Beer is good. Beer is good.
And stop. Our friend Jim Sutcliffe from Live Nation is here with us this morning. How are you, James?
I'm fantastic.
Those of you who have been listening to the Preston and Steve show for years know that we've had a relationship with Jim since, God, back at WDRE, man.
We were both just out of the military academy when we met him, Preston.
We were just, what do they call us? We were noobs.
Noobs, yeah.
At the time. How you doing, Jim?
I'm fantastic.
Excellent. So I was reading about this beer. They have this brand new IPA, and it's going to be sold just at Festival Pier, correct?
Yes, our neighbors.
Okay, nice. Yeah, they're right up the street.
Right up the street.
And when does this start?
It starts this Thursday.
Oh.
It'll be for this weekend at the Dropkick Murphy's Flogging Molly show.
Nobody likes to drink at a Dropkick Murphy's show. Are you kidding me?
I can't see that really syncing up nicely. I tell you what, I was blown away. You know, it's been a while since I've been down there, and I was down there for the Hoagie Nation deal, and you were wonderful to me and my family.
We had a good time hanging out.
It was a great time.
It was a great hang.
But the amount of action, and there's a lot of eating and drinking, and this is just another great thing to put in the list of available items there. So that's fantastic.
Yes. We're part of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
We walk down, people hang out. It's got a different vibe than any other place.
And it should have its own beer.
It should have its own beer.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
By the way, it's a 7%er, so that's a good one. That feels good going down. And from what I'm reading, it's an assertive American ale featuring Amarillo, Chinook, Bravo, Columbus, and Eureka hops.
Hoo-hoo.
Hello.
I don't even know what that means. And it sounds good. Yeah.
But anyhow. So it's going to be available starting tomorrow, which is really cool.
Yes.
And what other Live Nation shows are coming up?
We got some cool. You were talking about back in the day when you and I met, and I was thinking about Beck.
Yes.
Oh, I think you and I talked about that back in the day.
Beck is so awesome live.
I love Beck. It's one of my favorite shows coming.
Yep.
July 20th.
Okay.
We got some other cool stuff. 311 Offspring, which I seem to remember Pierre really into them.
Especially that build down there is a perfect match.
Totally perfect match. Phil Lesh from the Dead.
Okay.
And there's lots more. Go to the festivalpierphilly.com.
We are
tons
definitely in outdoor show mode right now. The last week or so, the weather's just been, it did get you in that frame of mind.
And the humidity is going to be cut a little bit.
Yeah, we've been working on that.
Yeah, you guys can handle that. If anyone can handle it, Live Nation can.
Nice. Excellent. All right, well, congratulations. Thank you for the heads up and a brand new IPA at Festival Pier exclusively there. You'll be able to get it. So if you're a fan of Yards and you want to sample the stuff, you got to get down there, man.
And I also have to publicly thank Yards because they are providing beer for the Mutiny on the Mishulu tomorrow night, and they've been very generous. We can't thank you guys enough for doing that.
And longtime supporter of the President and Steve Show.
Yes.
We appreciate it. Thank you so much. All right. Thank you, James. Nice to see you, Jim Sutcliffe and company here for that announcement for you, friends. There was a story that I saw, and let me see. I'm wrangling a lot of papers here. Yeah, here we go.
Wranglers.
San Francisco Giants pitcher. He's a closer. Hunter Strickland. Reportedly, after blowing a save on Monday night against the Marlins, on his way out, punched a door, broke his hand.
Man, this seems to happen in baseball more than other sports. I don't know what it is, but like the pitchers, like punching the dugout wall on the way out, the frustration boiling over. It seems to me to happen in baseball more than others.
Do you know what, Nick, though? As I think about it, some of the some of my favorite notable breaking hand stories occur within the world of music. One that comes to mind immediately is Tom Petty punched a wall and broke his hand.
Out of anger, I assume.
Yes, he was producing an album that was not coming together right and punched the wall and broke his hand.
What people don't realize when they go to punch a wall is they see drywall,
yeah,
sheetrock. You can get through that stuff, no problem. I've absolutely bumped into it and cracked it before. And what they don't realize is in certain segments along the way, there are, 2x4s or 2x6s behind there that are the studs. You hit one of those and you bye-bye hand.
It's true.
My best friend, Steve Lisick, was a pitcher in college and did the same damn thing. Punched the wall, broke his hand, had to quit.
They need to put like a speed bag or something in the dugout or in the tunnel on the way to the locker room.
Like a slam man or something.
Something for them to punch.
Or you carry a stud finder with you.
Yes.
You quickly just beep, 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 bang.
They have the app for your phone, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A stud finder?
Yeah, that's what they say. Yes, they say.
Yeah. Wow. I punched the wall and broke my hand when I was a freshman in high school.
Did you?
Yeah, I was pissed off. But like an idiot, I hammer punched it, right? So I didn't punch it with my knuckles. I punched it with the side of my hand, and I broke this bone, whatever bone that is.
Was it because you didn't get the role of Oliver Twist?
No.
No.
God damn it.
I wanted to be the Artful Dodger. The truth.
I've never tried it because out of fear of breaking my hand, I've never punched a wall.
It.
Have you?
I've done it a few times. Yes.
Yeah.
One time I did not, but I did not break my hand.
Okay.
And that was when I stopped punching walls.
Okay.
Because of that, I came very close.
Man, so in the when I was actively training in Krav Maga, we got a brand new refrigerator and, you know, stainless steel, beautiful and everything. And so you guys remember, I was walking around throwing punches in the air all the time.
Yeah. You were shadow boxing and every chance you could get.
Every chance I get. And I would lightly punch the walls. I mean, just to tap, not to punch out of anger.
No.
And I did it to the fridge, and I put a big dent in it. I mean, we hadn't had it for more than 2 weeks, and that dent stayed there for years.
But I remember Ernie said, and as a lot of people don't realize, you need to do refrigerator drills.
Yes.
What if you're walking down an alleyway?
Right, right.
Yeah.
You never know.
And a double-door refrigerator comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
But why is it always people who they rely on their hands for their living? If I did it now... I mean, I push like, buttons here. It's no
like Perlman punching a wall.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, at a certain point, yes, that's your moneymaker. Preston, that'd be like us hurling our beautiful faces into a wall.
There was a guy I knew who was a guitar player, reached into a snowblower.
Oh, no.
Why?
To clean out something or the other, and it took tip of his finger off. Took it off.
What?
Yeah, exactly.
I get so jittery around snowblower. I don't even like to look at snowblower ads.
Yeah. Let me go to Matt. Hey, Matt, good morning.
Morning. How you doing, guys?
Good. What's up, buddy?
Growing up, we're doing football practice and working out in the gym and everything. And my one buddy is just messing around. There's like a little mat in front of a cinder block wall, and he decides to punch it. Little does he know, he breaks and he can't play for the rest of the season.
Yes! You lose the whole season. So it was a thin mat, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
And against a cinder block wall. Oh, my God.
I mean, we're resilient.
Yeah.
You know when I'm surprised I didn't break my wrist or, you know, when I was a kid, karate chopping boards.
Yeah.
I saw Enter the Dragon.
Sure.
I can do this.
Totally. Here's a couple of texts coming in. 2012, Phillies Cardinals, NLDS. Ryan Howard makes last out, tears Achilles. I punched the hardwood floor in my house and broke 3 bones in my hand.
How long on average for I've never broken my hand, as I said before, I came close. How long for a broken hand, moderately broken, to heal?
A few weeks. At least 8 weeks. So you guys remember I broke a bone in my hand over at iFly. On the way out the door, I jammed my pinky and it broke up. And I was, it was about 8 weeks before it was fully.
Oh, when you broke both your wrists, how long did that take?
About the same.
Okay. Yeah,
6 to 8 weeks.
And that you were pleasuring yourself.
That's not how I broke my wrist. No.
You were sliding down the stairs.
Yeah, I was sliding down the banister, yeah.
I broke my wrist, and it took the entire summer. I was a lifeguard, and it ruined my summer. I had to be a telemarketer all summer.
So, think better of it when you're hurling your fist at a wall.
Well, yeah. But that one, I didn't punch anything. I just slid in the third base wrong.
Yeah, Case, when I broke both of my wrists, it was summertime.
Yeah.
And it just sucked.
Now, granted,
everybody's going down water slides and going to the pool and all that. I tried it.
I shouldn't have been. It was, a rookie mistake. I was on second base. The ball was hit to the shortstop. I had no business going to third base.
But you did.
I went anyway, and I was out.
You earned it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a text that says, punched a mirror and a brick wall behind it. Bigger deal. Mirror cracked, cut up my hand pretty bad. Broke a knuckle, too. Man.
You know what?
Punched a mirror?
I was talking to Nick about this yesterday. People don't realize, that when glass breaks and those shards come down.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like, oh, yeah. You got a little cut yesterday.
Yeah, and it wasn't anything.
It wasn't anything big.
Tragic, but once the glass shatters and starts going everywhere, you're asking for it.
So here you go. You can see the guy. You can see punching a wall. You can see punching drywall.
Yeah.
My hand's probably going to go through it if a stud's not there, and then you break your hand. But what about these people punching mirrors, punching hardwood floors? Why? What? What were you thinking was going to happen?
You're not thinking. You're just so enraged.
Yeah.
You hope that by hearing stories like this, you can maybe quickly remember the damage it can do.
Hang on. I think this might be insult to injury on this one. I'm going to go to Jason. Hi, Jason. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you?
Good. What's up, Jason?
All right. So I have various stories about punching walls, kicking walls, but the
might have an anger issue, Jason.
No, I used to. Anymore.
Good. All right, good.
Basically, years and years ago, I got into an argument with a coworker.
Okay.
Coworker came at me, threw a punch at me, missed. I punched him back, broke his nose.
Okay.
The manager came over, broke up the fight. This man got so pissed off that he walked into the bathroom, punched the wall, and then broke his hand.
The guy has a broken nose.
And then breaks his own hand.
And then breaks his own hand.
I'll show you.
And,
I'm going to start cutting off my leg.
And then I got the next day off paid.
Oh, you win all the way around, man.
Yes, I did. That's wonderful.
Nice.
And that is only the tip of the iceberg.
I'm sure you have stories.
Save another one for another day, man. Appreciate it.
Oh, I gladly will. Thank you.
All right. I will go to Kurt next. Hi, Kurt. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, bud?
Hey, my story is I got mad one time. I forget what it was about. And I punched a wall and I broke my little finger.
Yep.
And I don't know if you guys remember an old TV series called The Invaders.
Yes, I do, with Roy Thinnes.
Yes, yes. And the one characteristic flaw of the aliens was they could not straighten their little finger. So now when I hold out my right hand, my little finger is always pointing up like a 45-degree angle.
May I tell you that we're brothers then? Because I was saving somebody's life in a dodgeball.
Oh, yeah.
And I stuck my finger out to keep a ball from hitting John Galletti in the face.
Yeah.
And the last knuckle on my pinky bends down now. I mocked in public, but I endure.
My dad, who played college football, for years and survived that, although he did end up with a few broken bones, like years later, when I was in like 6th or 7th grade, he played in a touch football game with the neighborhood gang.
Oh, your dad was...
And he busted up his pinky finger. It is permanently, and I'll have to see if I can position my finger like it.
Oh, my God.
It's permanently like this.
Wow.
Yeah, so he can't, it's bent all the time. It is permanently like that.
Is that the loving finger now?
Yeah. It might be.
You got to see the receiver, Torrey Holt. He doesn't play anymore. He's retired. But he had dislocated his finger and never got it properly fixed because he was in the middle of a season. And now I swear to God, his middle finger presses like that all the time.
I can't look at people who have hands like that. It goes off to an angle.
Yeah, look at it.
Oof.
Oh.
Wow. Wow. Wow.
No.
Why can't you fix that?
I don't know.
Can't you fix that?
You could probably
take
fix
it off
now.
The screen, please.
Yeah, I think you can fix it. I think that's the problem. They don't go to get it fixed.
Do you see the commercials they're airing now, Preston, for the bent penis?
No.
They are for the
priapism or whatever. Now that's a broken penis, but
yes. But there is an ad campaign. I guess maybe they're doing some research, but it's I've seen the commercial fairly frequently. Is it bent down there? It's saying basically,
stop it. Yeah, that's an actual commercial.
It's an actual television commercial.
Okay, interns, do look for the bent penis commercial.
Yeah, yes,
and grab the audio if you can find it, because I got to hear that for myself.
Yeah,
what's the solution?
I remember as it aired at the end, I turned to my wife and said, "Was that just a bent penis commercial?" And she said, "Yeah." So I don't know what they were. If they were soliciting for people who have it to go under tests or trials, yeah, or if they had a medication, or if they just wanted to point and laugh.
It must
below
be
the belt. Here it is.
Below the belt. Oh, my God. You must have.
You're curved.
It's okay. Well, hang on. I want to get the audio from this. If there is audio, it says, what caused it? What do I do? It's showing graphics up on the screen and a really hot wife coming around and hugging this really good looking guy.
Perry, I love you.
Yeah, right.
I love you. And I point west.
Look at how hot these people are.
Well, I mean, you're hitting spots that normal men can't hit.
I'm staying with you forever, man. I'm getting front and butt at the same time.
I can't bring this up.
No?
Do it.
No.
Do it. No one's listening.
Are you sure?
Do it in pig Latin.
No. It has to do with my unit.
Right.
So
you have a bend?
No, I don't have
a knuckle?
No.
An eye.
Can you shut up for a minute? When urinating.
Yes.
I'd never realized. And I just realized this a couple of years ago. Nick's rubbing his face oh, God.
It sings?
No, it doesn't sing.
Hello, my baby.
When I'm relieving myself, I'd never realized that I actually point it way over to the left.
You point it.
I point it to the left to cause, because in order for it to relieving myself to go out straight into
I
the urinal.
I hear you.
My stream goes off to the right. I never realized
that. You pull to the right.
Yeah, just the stream
right
that comes out of there.
So
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
My wife doesn't even know this. Story,
really?
By the way. Yeah.
Well, she does now.
She does now.
When I had my prostatectomy, I had prostate cancer in 2014. They took it out. Everything's all good. But I have the stream of a Clydesdale now.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
We have audio of that?
It works it works slightly better when it's pointed a little bit in one direction.
Well, I got freaked out last week because I had a split stream and I was like, oh my gosh, there's something in there. You know, because
I'm watching you.
Was it?
It was Ant-Man. It was Ant-Man. Why did I pull this duty?
Was it following a particular activity?
No, because it was here.
Okay. You ever try to whiz? Of course.
Right after.
After sex, you might as well have one of those.
Well, I got a split stream then, occasionally.
I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And the noise you just made—that's a sprinkler.
Yeah.
Okay. Here's the commercial.
Yeah.
Right, so let's hear how this goes.
If you're curved below the belt, you may not know what caused it, and you may not know what to do. A significant curve may be a medical condition called Peyronie's disease.
Pierogi's
disease.
I love those things.
Yeah, they're wonderful.
They're the Polish treat.
I love them.
Yeah.
And there are thousands of other men out there who may also have it. Many may go undiagnosed. Talk to a urologist about Peyronie's disease. And to learn more, visit learnaboutpd.com.
So in the 70s, there was a porn star who had a bent unit.
Mm-hmm.
And I always thought, well, that probably hits certain zones, right?
I don't know. Kathy?
You have that book that you're always looking at in your office?
All right. Well, we were talking about breaking your hand by punching things.
Yeah. Now it's bent penis talk.
Now I don't know why we got to bent penis talk.
You ever slammed your bent penis into the wall?
And accidentally break it?
Yeah, because you're upset?
Yeah. Maybe that's how
it got there that way.
But it's a disease. Like, aside from it being bent, I mean, are there any other...
I don't think there's anything other than the bent nature of it.
Yeah.
You know?
Don't know.
So let's...
Maybe they have a way to straighten it out. It's very vague because he says talk to your urologist.
Yeah, or just talk to anybody. Talk to your dentist.
And it doesn't seem like it's an ad for a medical product like a medication or a salve or a piece of equipment that'll straighten it out.
I'm here for my cleaning and my penis is bent. Why are you telling me this?
You're at the dentist.
You're a doctor. I'm a dentist.
Steve told me to.
I think I might have gingivitis and my penis bends up.
Up?
What?
What?
Yeah, it's painful. The gingivitis or your penis?
Both.
Both. All right. You know how I send you home with a toothbrush? I got nothing for the penis. I got nothing. No promotional stuff there.
No.
You know,
no,
because no I'm floss. A dentist.
Yeah. No floss. No little tiny tube of toothpaste.
Right.
Yeah. Nothing. That's going to help with that. Pyronies.
I think I have pierogies in my pants.
What? Okay. Should I go back to the punching the walls calls?
Yes.
Or
well,
should we continue down
we can run two topics. Mm-hmm. We're that good.
We've done it before.
Wall punching and Ben penis.
Well, I'm going to go to, let's see who's been on long, hold longest. It's Dan. Hey, Dan, good morning.
I like turtles.
Yeah, yeah, buddy. What's up, man?
So, I'm a firefighter. I've been a firefighter for a number of years now, and we had a fire, what we call a taxpayer. Business on the bottom, apartments on the top. It's on top of a ladder trying to break a window with one of my tools. Couldn't break the window for the life of me with my tool, and I got PO'd and just smashed my hand right into the window.
Ooh.
Shattered the window. Didn't realize there's a cinder block wall right behind it.
Oh, my God.
How bad did that mess up your hand?
I broke three fingers and needed surgery.
What? Three fingers and needed surgery.
Needed surgery. Damn. Is your hand back to normal, or do you have any lingering issues?
Going back to the guy that's talking about the invaders, three of my fingers look like that.
Okay.
Wow.
It's funny. We're referencing the invaders. But let me ask you something, because we brought up the issue of tactical gloves a couple days ago, which I just want to buy for some reason. Do you guys have special gloves where you could, like, punch through glass? Or?
I was using what we call fire gloves, so they're fire retardant gloves, so they're thicker. But when you're punching a cinder block wall with glass,
it won't help.
Yeah. No,
all right.
A whole lot.
All right.
You still get hurt.
All right, thanks, Dan.
Does it blow your mind, Dan, that that a fire truck is actually a water truck? Does that blow your mind a little bit?
So I saw a meme yesterday about that, and I had to sit there and think about it for a second.
Interesting.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Does that worry you, Case?
No, but I saw the same meme that he's talking about. Okay. And it's just a guy sitting there with his head in his hands. He's like, a fire truck is actually a water truck.
Tweaked your melon, man. Okay. You can watch Fahrenheit 451. Those are actual fire trucks in that movie.
They go set fires. They burn books.
Yep.
So oh.
If you want to.
Okay,
cover
cool.
Three topics.
By the way, somebody texted in and said that you could use the toothbrush and floss as a splint for your penis.
Exactly.
And straighten it out.
Use the floss and tie it around.
But I wonder for anybody with that disease if, because I'm assuming it's bent when it's happy, right?
If you're happy and you know it, bend your penis. If you're happy and you know it, bend your penis.
But I wonder if when they're at that state, if they can kind of bend it back to...
You mean like a pipe cleaner?
Yeah, like, but obviously it goes back to the
way it
was.
It will make that... I don't know. I think it would hurt. I think you would be injured.
I think that's why you got to go to the doctor.
That's why you have to go to the pierogi doctor.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, hi. Is the pierogi doctor in?
Send
can
over
I
the...
make an appointment? No, I make a pierogies.
Yeah. Let me go to... I don't know if this is correct or not. I'm going to go to Mike. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, good morning. How you guys doing today?
Good. What's up, Mike?
Hey, I was in a motorcycle accident years ago, and I had what they call open book pelvic fracture, and I actually broke my urethra.
Your urethra?
Yeah.
That's a canal of sorts.
Yeah.
The doctor said, the urologist said, you should thank the person that got the catheter in, because if not, you would have lost it.
So maybe what you're talking about is it helped because it's I always thought that was a more flexible thing.
But priapism is that's when you break your penis.
Right.
So when you're, I understand.
Yeah, that's my understanding as well. So do you have a bend in it, if I may ask?
No, there's no bend in it, but I had to keep a catheter for 3 months. He used it as an internal cast.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, it's a tube, so I would imagine it can break.
I had a catheter for...
Once a month, they had to change it.
Like 5 or 6 days, and that was enough.
Yeah.
That was painful.
Sorry to hear that, Mike.
You know, let me check a camera up there to check my bladder.
Yeah, and it was a Polaroid.
It felt like it.
It hurt. The catheter was actually not so bad, not at all. And they pressed in the picture slides out your ass. As you're making it dry quicker.
My friend told me the removal of the catheter was clearly the most painful part of it.
Not at all for me. So wow. I tell guys who come to this, who are going to go get the prostatectomy surgery.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Wow.
It went in when I was out under anesthetic.
Yeah.
It basically felt like I was, for like 2 seconds, peeing a milkshake, and that was it. Nope. I didn't feel any pain.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Well, I was not aware that they are now attacking this with TV ads, but
yes.
Apparently a bent unit is something that you can go to urologists about. So hopefully we've shared this with someone who has that issue, and they can now seek the help that they desire.
Somebody may have actually punched the wall because they're upset there was no one addressing their bent penis.
Right. And we brought it all together.
And then they got the doorbell rang. It was François Truffaut's Fahrenheit 451
right.
Blu-ray okay. being delivered by Amazon.
So keep in mind that ad is out there. Anyhow, I thought it was an interesting story. Closer Hunter Strickland for the Giants punched a wall, broke his hand. He's a pitcher. Come on, man. Don't punch a wall if that's your moneymaker right
Kick there. It if you
or
have
hit
to.
It with, or yeah. use the other hand. I don't know.
Hey, how about you throw a ball at it?
Yeah.
You could do that, too. All right, we're going to take a break. Don't forget, we have a secret text word chance. We're going to win an overnight stay at the Cambria Hotel on Broad Street. And text word secret to 39333. We'll see if you win a little bit. Scheduled to have Lorel Howery in the studio next. The movie Uncle Drew is going to hit theaters on June 29th. It looks very funny. He'll be in here in just a little bit. Stay with us.
This 93.3 WMMR audio on demand program returns after a brief word from our sponsors.
Hey, it's Preston. Listen, when I want to relax, I go to Hand & Stone Massage Facial Spa. Listen, whether you want a rejuvenating massage or refreshing facial, Hand & Stone is the place to go. Introductory massages or facials start at just $59.95. Visit handandstone.com or one of their 50 locations in the Delaware Valley. Restrictions apply. See spa for details.
Are you ready for love? If so, Stephen makes it easy, handpicking diamonds to create a stunning engagement ring that's guaranteed to take her breath away. Stephen Singer Jewelers, real love experts at the other corner of 8th and Walnut, or IHateStephenSinger.com.
This is the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Our next guest is a busy man, and we appreciate him coming by this morning because he's got a lot of irons in the fire, and the one he's going to be talking about is going to be in theaters on June 29th. It is called Uncle Drew. Please welcome Lorel Howery to the
show.
Yes.
What up?
This morning, Rel.
I'm excited. Thanks for having me.
You bet, man. Thanks for coming in. For those who may not be familiar with you, you've had so many great, awesome roles, and you won the MTV Movie Award for Best Comedic Performance in the movie Get Out. That had to have been a little... nice little feather in the cap getting an award for that.
Yeah, it was actually really dope because also last night my friend Tiffany Haddish received the same award. Yeah.
So yes.
We just took it. I told her this morning, like, yeah, back-to-back years.
And she's in Uncle Drew.
Yeah, she's in Uncle Drew also, which is such a fun movie, man, we did.
So explain for people who are familiar, they may have seen the commercials. There were the commercials with featuring the character of Uncle Drew. Explain what Uncle Drew is about.
So they came, it started from, so people don't know this, Kyrie came up with Uncle Drew. And it's based
he created
on,
it?
It's based on his dad.
Wow.
His dad still plays basketball. So he basically created this old, like, he's better as an older version of his dad, but his dad still plays all the time.
Huh.
Just this older guy who's on the court still balling dudes.
Yeah. So he was him who came up with the idea
of this. Came up with the idea.
This guy who sort of schools some street ballers.
And the first time he did, I think we always forget. So they did it in Chicago first, and nobody knew who it was. So it was actually a real court, real game. He showed up in the old man stuff, balled everybody out. I didn't even know it was Kyrie until maybe like the fourth commercial.
Yeah, because it was hard. The makeup was done, first off, very well.
Yeah.
You could obviously see body-wise, the guy, it would have been in exemplary shape. But the facial makeup was very well done.
It was very well done. That's what was so amazing about the movie with all the prosthetics, with all the players.
Yeah.
I almost forgot how everybody looked in real life.
Did you?
Because they'll be in there for 5 hours. So when I show up on set, they already old. And when I left, they were still old. So I literally forgot how everybody looked until Kyrie did that press conference when he went to the Celtics. And I was like, oh, that's your face.
Well, in the movie, so you have a team.
Yeah.
And your adversary is Nick Kroll, which is borderline science fiction that he's got. But I got it. So he's your adversary because he plays a good prick. So you guys are playing off against each other. He sort of steals your... He just crushes you. He's your adversary.
Yeah, he's destroyed my life in different times.
So that spurs you on to...
To have to find somebody to help me. And that's when, like, you know, I heard about Uncle Drew from different people. Like, the guys at the barbershop tell me about him. But I've never seen him.
It just is a stuff of legend, but you figure you'll explore it.
Like, come on. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
so it was like when I... You know, when Dax... whose name my character discovers, Drew, was really by mistake. This is after I couldn't find any new players to play on my team.
Right.
All these different playgrounds. And I just happened to be at a playground and see Drew take on this dude one-on-one. That's right. When I approached him.
And so what his one deal is he'll do it, but he has to be able to pick his own teammates.
Right, which is that's where the story gets hilarious and fun. That is taking this road trip to pick up all these other old dudes.
And you're getting older versions of these great players.
Shaq and Reggie Miller.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Chris Webber.
Yeah.
Nate Robinson. Lisa Leslie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, the makeup they did on her is pretty amazing.
Yeah, because, you know, Lisa is like model gorgeous.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
So when they put that on, the agent like that, I thought was crazy. And she was so good. This was going to surprise y'all, is how good everybody
however, is. You know what? It was sort of a revelation when it became clear that Shaq is funny. That he could pull off comedy and really embraced it. But looking at the trailer and looking at these other people holding their own against people the likes of you and Tiffany, it's pretty wild. And everyone seems to be savoring it. And there has to be something liberating about the makeup. Like, it's not exactly you, so you can kind of have more fun.
That's, you know what's funny? The more I see screenings for it, that's what I'm impressed. Because if you meet Kyrie's a really... So he's at the movie awards hanging out, and he's came to my shows, and we've talked.
Yeah.
And he's 25, so he talks like that. When he became Drew, he becomes this whole other old soul. It's very interesting. Like, I don't know how he did it.
Did you ask him who he was channeling? I mean, because it's his own dad?
I think his dad.
Yeah. Wow. So it's actually, it's two things I love. A good sports comedy, but it's also a road picture, you know, where you're on the journey to get like with the Blues Brothers, they got the band together. I love stuff
that's
like that.
That's a great example. That's what it feels like, actually.
Yeah.
It's funny that you say that, but that's what it, yeah. Wow, that's a, okay.
It's a good one. You can use
I'm
that.
I'm using it now. Yeah. All the rest of my press.
Band together. All right. So Dax, is he playing ball with these guys?
Eventually, it's a good chance you may see Dax join the team.
Okay. Now, with that, what's that like playing ball with these guys? Because you're playing with these some of the best of the best.
Me and Nick Crow was talking about this. I remember at some point, we was like stood to the side with each other like, dude, we are on a court.
Yeah.
With Chris Webber, Reggie Miller, and like, we about to run up and down playing real basketball.
Yeah.
This is insane, right?
Well, Cole is a huge sports fan.
Oh, no, I am too. Which is why, you know, one of the reasons because I asked Nick to do this. You know, when I read the script the first time and, we was discussing who else, you know, I would like to work with on this film, he was one of the first people I wanted to talk to. Because I like, Nick does all these great, he does great character work, and me and him have really good chemistry. So,
yeah.
We was at our friend Eric Andre is another funny guy.
Another great guy, yeah.
He had a crazy, his birthday parties are insane.
Are they?
He's
almost sociopathic.
I think he is. literally this year for no reason, they had like a wrestling match in the middle of the party. Somebody threw him on the table and broke it. It was he paid regular people to walk around naked.
Wow.
Not the most sexiest.
Is it the kind of thing where you're excited, but you're also nervous?
We all show up. I remember everybody usually show up at the door like, well, here we go. You know what I mean?
But you need someone like that in your life, right?
He's crazy. But but that's what me and Nick first talked about working together. We was at Eric's party, and I was like, man, we got to do something together, bro.
So Charles Stone directed and writer Jay Longo, it says. Yeah. I'm not familiar, and I tried to do some. Is this, has he done stuff?
Well, Charles Stone created the What's Up commercials. People don't
know. So this comes, were these the guys who created the campaign for Pepsi?
Well, that's what Charles did. Jay, so funny, Jay has done stuff back to back now.
Okay.
But he was just a basketball guy who became a writer. He played college basketball and everything. He became a writer, and they approached him because of the basketball knowledge to write this movie.
There's something about basketball that lends itself to good movies. You know, if you're going to do a sports movie, there is a drama to that final three-pointer or something that gets it done. Other sports can't quite pull it off the way basketball can on film. So
it's so funny, and basketball always had this heart in it. Like, I can't even watch the 92 Bulls championship tape without tearing up.
It gets you emotional.
You're emotional, man.
So we Preston mentioned Get Out.
Yeah,
we had Jordan Peele in. I guess about he was still working on Get Out. He was in promoting. I think it was Keanu.
Yeah,
and it became clear as we were talking that he was just a huge horror fan in this whole thing, and he was simultaneously sort of excited but nervous about what Get Out would be. None of you could have seen how this would take off the way it did?
No, I mean, when we did it, it was one of those things where, like, either this is going to do well or it's not, right? And it wasn't a big budget, so we all did do it because we loved Jordan Peele, and I just loved the script. Once the trailer came out and then we went to reshoot the ending, I'm like, oh, I think this is going to do good.
what was your first indication? Was it the trailer.
Yeah, the way when my family started calling me, like, we can't wait to see this. I'm like, oh, this is a thing.
Yeah.
Why did you reshoot the ending?
Well, I wanted to ask about that, too, because I watched both endings. And we don't want to betray what happens at the end of the movie.
Wait, I didn't know there's two.
It's on the disc.
On the disc.
You can
see the original.
Actually got it on YouTube, too. I mean, the original ending.
Which one did you like better before you go into the story about that?
I appreciate the original because it was real.
Yep.
But then also I knew as a fan of movies, we just needed a hero, man.
Yeah, it needed to have a more satisfying ending. Yeah. I know what you mean.
People would have left the theater with different energy if we would have kept. Because when I saw the first cut, it was with the original ending, and I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because he's a real... I mean, here's the difference. They'll say horror comedy. I like my horror. You can have some comedy, and you provide the comedy. And
but you know what made it work, though? Because Jordan wrote it real.
He wrote it real. Yes, you can tell.
All I was the audience that watched the movie.
And that's why it works. When they try to over-yuck it up, that's when they screw it up. Because that would have undermined what is really a brilliant horror movie that works on multiple levels.
Yeah. And what was masterfully done was that the trailer thought you were getting into one thing, and the movie got you into something else, and you're like, whoa. That's hard to pull off.
How much of your character of that? First off, do you ever have to go through TSA ever now?
I'll tell you something funny about that. They show love when I show up. Oh, man, we appreciate you, but you still got to take your shoes off. So I still got to do everything. They still do it. Like, they take their job more seriously now, which is crazy. Like,
well, you give them a sense of pride. Was there any onset ad-libbing because you seem so natural? Your simultaneous pride and condemnation of him for going in the first place.
So the funny thing about it is, I thought I was saying stuff that was scripted, and then we did a panel, and Jordan was like, this is you just saying stuff.
Wow, that's great.
But he let me do that. He'll have, like, we'll do the takes where I do everything scripted, and I do a rail take. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, if anyone's going to appreciate comedic ability.
It's Jordan. Yeah. That's why he's a great director.
Yeah.
Besides the original ending, I did watch the multiple takes in that last scene, and I would imagine a few of those had to have been yours, right?
So this all he did. He would walk to me, and we had this comedy. We spoke the same comedy language. Yeah. So he would just walk to me and be like, your sister's single. And then I just go on a rant, right? So it was just like, even with the stuff, I told you not to go in the house. It's just like, he's like, just say something. I just came up with that. It was like, I mean, I told you not to go to hell. I mean,
Well, because you're left in a situation where I love that too. Because people who have the ability, who can improvisationally come up with, and you come from that background. Yeah. In the moment, pressured, you will respond the way someone would respond in that situation.
I mean, look, man, you see sirens, you picking your boy up, you've been telling them all day not to go there. And it's like, because what I love about that line, it shows friendship. You know, guys, no matter what's going on, we're still like, come on, we'll still bust your balls, man.
Yeah.
You know
what
I
mean? Like,
I know you just, you know, you got blood on you, but
you're the friend who you need. Everyone has a friend. Like, listen, it's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in a field. I have a bloody axe. Can you come pick me up? Okay, you stupid bastard. And that's what you need.
Did you find yourself doing that in Uncle Drew as well?
It was a little. Well, I did do a lot of improv, and me and Nick Crow did a lot of, like, it's stuff that's made the movie that we randomly did or said the director come back like, all right, just do that again. But it's it's a lot of, like, Chris Webber was hysterical in his movie, and a lot of his stuff was improv.
Did you get to go over to, because Shaq just recently sold, or is up for sale, his Florida,
that huge
system. Did you get to go down to that?
No, because we shot everything in Atlanta. I wish, because he has a place in Atlanta. He has a lot of houses. He's a very rich man.
But he's brilliant too with his business stuff.
I'm gonna tell you something. That's what he gave me and Nick so much advice about brand stuff. He's really brilliant
and he's loyal. I watched a whole documentary. First, there he'd done something on the Brian Gumbel on HBO. They'd done a thing about his marketing, and then there was a documentary about how he handles. is different. Like, he'll see something on TV that he really likes. He'll try it. He likes the product. He contacts the guy who manufactures it. I'll do your endorsements. I mean, he's motivated, man.
He is brilliant.
I wanted to ask you, talking about being on the set and improvising lines, and we have Adam McKay as a friend of the show, and he says he'll laugh when you know someone's riffing on set and doing the deal, and that actually encourages the actors. You as a performer, when you're doing something, do you like to hear response, or does it throw you off? Because technically, you're not supposed to be hearing someone laughing, but how does it work?
Well, that's the thing. It depends on what it is. Like, so if it's, for instance, like, it's not, I'm trying to plug this, but I got a show on Fox this year called Real, a sitcom.
Yes.
I like a live studio audience because I like to hear it right away. It's easy to write to that. I give you a perfect example of not that environment is doing Get Out. I kept trying to make Daniel, who played, you know, I just wanted to make him laugh. Like, right. He had to be sad. So I'm, like, saying all this crazy. That's why when you see those outtakes of me doing it, it's me trying to make him laugh, trying to break him. So, like,
awesome.
They'll yell cut, and we have to give him 2 minutes to just laugh.
Yeah.
Because he's so good. He was just, I'm like, I got to break this dude. But he was so, really good actor, man.
But I know it existed before that, but it's almost like Judd Apatow seemed to ring in that kind of...
You can't help it. I mean, yeah. I did that movie Tag, and me and Ed Helms, the scene we did, we laughed a lot.
Yeah.
Because I like to change... I do change stuff up because I tend to do that. And
yeah.
Because I like to break everybody. That's my thing. And then it's funny, somebody like Ed Helms is the same type of person, so he would just go off on these rants, and I'm trying not to... I like laughing. I laugh on set in a heartbeat.
Exactly, yeah. Who doesn't, right?
We love movies. We love the business behind the movies as well, too, and you and I were chatting right before this break started about Creed 2. The trailer just dropped. Can you tell the story, or do you not want to tell it?
I mean, I'm excited. Well, one of the original scripts, because they'll rewrite these things a million times.
Yeah.
They had a brother that was going to be another Creed, and that's what I was...
Michael Jordan's brother?
Michael B. Jordan's brother. So I was up for it to be a Creed, and I'm sad that they wrote it out.
It was going to be another Creed.
It's because this one, I mean, you watch the trailer, got Drago. This is good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just wanted to do the movie because I'm a Rocky fan.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Rocky fan. So if they do Creed 3, I'm like, come on now.
All right, rate the movies, because we are the original... is great, and I happen to think, both Preston and I agree, that Rocky Balboa, the sixth one, was almost an equal to the original Rocky.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
It was beautifully made.
Yeah, and Creed itself, the original, was a solid movie.
It was, like, this is the thing about it. The best soundtrack in all of it is the Rocky IV soundtrack. We all know that, right? That soundtrack.
Living in America.
I still, like... If you listen to Living in America, you can hear James Brown talking stuff to Eddie Murphy. Because Eddie used to impersonate him, so you hear him at one point say, "Eat your heart out, Eddie Murphy." He's like, "What?" I mean, listen to the song again.
Noticed that.
He shot a shot at Eddie Murphy, man.
Well, we were talking about how that it is a junk food movie. If you look at it, it's not as profound and moving and as cool as, say, Number One or Rocky Balboa.
That was better than Rocky Balboa.
He says it's better. I think it's kind of dumb in a lot of spots, but fun dumb.
This is funny. When Rocky fought Mr. T is really it's not the best, but it's my favorite. Because Mr. T was talking crazy, and I just thought it was hysterical.
He was the most formidable of the opponents.
Yeah.
He was the one you believed... This guy might kill him.
This guy is the best in the world. Like when he just show up to the press conference, he just start coming on to Adrian. I'm like, damn.
I show what a real man is like. Yeah.
You want to be a real man? Come over here. Rocky lost his mind.
Is there a movie that you love that you know everyone else hates and you're embarrassed to admit it? We were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, we had a lengthy conversation about that.
Look, okay, this is not a movie people hate, but nobody really talks about it. It's going to sound so random.
Let's hear it.
I like the movie Simon Birch. Do you remember
Simon Birch?
Yeah. That's a beautiful movie.
That is a beautiful movie.
But some people don't like a lot of people ain't seen it.
Well,
which is crazy.
It's why is it crazy? It's not like it's about some
Undersized dude.
I remember crying watching it, and my dad walked in. What the hell are you watching?
Yeah,
here,
Mom.
No, it's a good movie.
Oh, my God. It's a beautiful movie.
My cousin's son, they had to take him to the emergency room because he was hyperventilating. He was crying so hard that movie. They let him watch it as a kid.
Well, he killed his mom with a foul ball, right?
Spoiler alert.
What happens at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, no, you're right.
No,
wow, interesting.
Simon Birch. That's a callback.
That's definitely good. Listen, we know, like I said at the top of the interview, we know you're busy. You got to get rolling. But listen, we're fans. We thank you for coming by here today. Looking forward to seeing Uncle Drew. It's going to be theaters June 29th. Your show on Fox, that's coming out. When do you know when that's
this fall. So this September, you're going to see. I'm excited.
Congratulations.
That's called Rel. And maybe we'll talk to you again when that's coming.
I would love to come back.
Excellent, man. We appreciate it. Guys, let's give it up for Lil Rel Howery. Yeah.
Thank you for having me.
And Uncle Drew is in theaters. And that's on June 29th, by the way. Alright, we got up. I don't think it's part about Eddie Murphy. We gotta take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay with us.
This summer. Army is hitting house parties throughout the Delaware Valley, delivering our summer house party pack. Got a backyard barbecue, pool party, summer shindig? No matter what the party, we're going to help you get it started right. With food from Philly's own Dietz and Watson, premium meats and artisan cheeses, a case of Bud Light Lime or Bud Light Orange, and backyard party games courtesy of Jeff D'Ambrosio Auto Group. Hit up the contest page at WMMR.com to register your party to win MMR's Summer House Party Pack from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks your summer.
I started to set it down and it rubbed up against the console and made that noise and everybody looked at me.
You know what? Lowe's for Pros could fix that.
Yeah, man. They can fix anything. So, you know what? Can we? I don't know why he's in here, but. Yeah. I was going to do the full.
Oh,
Man About Town, like the full intro. Okay. Do we still have that? We haven't done that in a long time.
I think it's only appropriate.
Yeah, because all of a sudden somebody came bounding in here.
We destroyed his office yesterday.
And we did. But is this the long one, Casey?
Yeah.
Okay, fire it up. Here we go.
Ladies and gentlemen, mesdames et messieurs, Damen und Herren, from what was once an inarticulate mass of lifeless tissues, may I now present a cultured, sophisticated man about town.
There he is.
Hey!
Bill Weston himself in our studio came walking in, sat down, put on the headphones, like, okay, Bill's got something to say, I guess. How you doing, man?
I wouldn't necessarily describe it as bounding into the studio, but you moved skipping.
You moved briskly.
Skipping haughtily.
And he did one of those cartwheels without using his hands?
Yeah.
Wait, what is that called?
I don't even know, but aerial.
Yes, he did an aerial.
It was an amazing. I was like, wow, he can do that.
God, you can't see it, but Bill has two sticks with long streamers on them.
Yeah.
I walked in with a sense of purpose.
Yes. Good morning, Bill.
I have a question.
Sure.
Okay.
So I'm getting on the bus yesterday for a Beasley Day of Caring.
Yes.
We went down to the Frankfurt area and picked up trash for a while, and I'm getting on the bus, and somebody says to me, oh, I hear Preston and Steve are, like, destroying your office today. I'm going... What?
Yeah.
You had no idea, did you? I missed that part of the show.
You did.
I'd shared that with your listeners.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm thinking, really? What? They're going to destroy... Why this act of aggression?
Well, we figured it was the most likely candidate because we were looking for just a rage room. Originally, it was going to be Pierre's area down there, but we said, no, you know... We had more of a kinship to your office.
I have a feeling you misunderstood, meaning your current office, as opposed to the one you vacated, right?
Oh.
Okay. Yes. Well, that was my initial fear, and then I realized that you're going to destroy my fourth floor office. This place of that has brought you so much joy.
Yes.
You're going to take sledgehammers to, right?
Have you ever done this because it is cathartic? Before you criticize, you need to try it yourself.
Really? I'm thinking, this is the place that you painted the 8-foot vagina on my studio window.
You're right.
This is the place, my office, that you TP'd with an actual teepee.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
It would have been great if we had made a quote-unquote mistake and destroyed your third floor office by accident.
This is the office
that you constructed a gallery of 12 portraits of men's genitalia.
That's true.
Gary Lauer once worked in your office.
Gary Lauer. And the office that you conscripted Gary Lauer to be my personal assistant on Secretary's Day.
Yeah, yeah. So it holds, does it hold? Now, we're looking at the video yesterday. Man, I look good in orange.
You just need those zigzag stripes from the Charlie Brown t-shirt, man, and you are him.
I know. It's horrible.
Although that's a yellow t-shirt, yeah. But I'm not surprised that you got that pop culture reference wrong as well.
But yeah, wow. It was wild. Okay.
I think Bill has more, well, of course, it was your office, but a little bit of an attachment to it.
Do you?
I missed my fourth floor office because it was just a short walk or run, depending what you guys are talking about down the hallway here. And yeah, I was like,
look at Marissa. Marissa,
wow,
stringing away.
She shook that whole wall.
Yeah, she's watching the video.
So anyhow, yeah, we beat up your office.
Okay.
Do you got issues with that?
I was just thinking, like, okay. What are they trying to say about their boss to their audience? It's like, we're going to take a sledgehammer to Bill's office.
No.
Having fun. Okay.
It was the act of being able to smash down walls was pretty cool.
All right.
It was cathartic. It was awesome.
Yeah. And you climbed through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Busting through the wall was probably the best part of it.
When I went through into Bill Burns' former office, it created like a door flap.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
Listen, unless you've ever had the chance to do any demolition work like this, you can't. It is really cathartic. It's a joy.
Yeah, there's the Facebook video is up if you want to see that. From what I understand, I'm sure our video crew is going to do an edited, slicker version of that.
Yes, he dropped an S bomb.
He almost did.
Yeah,
their lousy kitchen. You know, and they're taking a. I can't believe I just did that. Their lousy kitchen with sledgehammers. Yeah, that would be fun.
Yes, absolutely. They let us do it when they did. They did a home. They did the Spice Up Your Kitchen, and they at our old house tore everything down in like one day, and we were part of it. It was fun. It's cool. Destruction is awesome.
As you didn't try to bust through it with your hand, you know, and break your pinky or something. I guess we're okay.
I didn't know you were coming here and talk about that. I thought you were going to come in and tell us we were elected into the Broadcasters Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Well, I mean, for you guys to segue from wall punching with fists to bent penises in the scope of 7 minutes, yep. I think that's another worthy nomination.
Speaking of which, Jillian works for the company that made the video about the curved penis thing. Jillian, you're on the air. Good morning.
God, Zeus, I can't believe I made it on.
Oh, my God, you're on. Yeah, so you made that video. What's the name of your company you work for?
I work for GSW Newtown. We're a subsidiary of Cineo's Health.
Okay. And are you guys local? You're around the Philly area?
Yep. We're in Newtown, Pennsylvania, so not too far from Philly.
Oh.
Wow. About that. All right, cool. So are you guys the ad company or the company that that manufactures whatever they're advertising?
Yeah. So I work for the ad company. So we are Endopharmaceuticals Agency of Record, which means that we create all of the consumer-facing and healthcare professional-facing materials, both print and digital, for Endo. And so that's what we do. And so we've been working on Peyronie's disease about 3.5-4 years now.
And what's the product? What is the product?
Xiaflex.
Oh, Diaflex. They don't mention it.
I don't think it was mentioned in the ad,
well,
is it?
I read, Jillian, that the product itself is not available yet, that this is a pre-ad. Do you know if that's accurate?
No, actually, we've been live in the field for Peyronie's disease for just about 4 years. So Xiaflex is available.
Okay.
And we have about 1,200 urologists that inject with it. So it is an injection. It's not.
Oh, no!
You just lost everyone in the room.
No. I enjoy sticking needles in my dump.
Put that in the next ad.
Your next ad campaign needs to be, is there a guy in your life you need to straighten out?
That's pretty good.
There you go, right?
I like it.
A little bit of comedy there.
You guys should do this for a living.
All right. So real quick, in order to do these commercials, did you actually have to do research on the disease and the treatment?
Absolutely, yeah. We've been working on it, like I said, about 4 years now.
Oh.
And the cool thing is that we were doing a lot of branded promotion, which was just driving patients and doctors to Xiaflex.com.
Right.
But we decided to take a different approach, and we decided to do an unbranded, just disease state awareness, because what we realized is there are a lot of men out there that are not talking about their Peyronie's disease or their erectile curvature or their erectile health in general. So we wanted to really give Peyronie's disease a name for those men that have it but are not aware of it. They don't know how to talk to their doctor.
That makes sense. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. No, absolutely. There are sometimes you start to see things advertised. You're like, oh, okay, I guess this is a thing. I think these things work as far as making people more likely to engage in a dialogue.
Making people aware.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think maybe you put the product name on a boomerang. I think that would make a lot of sense.
There you go. Yeah. It's bent. Yeah.
Well, the nice thing is if you actually go to learnaboutpd.com, the vanity URL at the end of the ad,
you can get a free boomerang.
Yeah. You'll get to Zyflex.com. So you can learn more. You can find out about the treatment course. And then, of course, you can find a urologist in your area that is suitable for working with you on Zyflex.
Gotcha. Very cool.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff, Jillian. Well, good luck with all those men penises out there.
You know, and at some point...
There's a lot of them. 13% of men in the United States.
Wow. Do a reshoot and include one of us in it if you would. It'd be very cool. Like,
Maybe. All right.
Thanks, Jillian.
Thank
we appreciate, so appreciate you listening. Take care. All right. We'll see you later.
Hey, speaking of dongs, don't forget I have that story to tell you guys.
Oh, on air or off air?
It's about the jellyfish, Preston.
Oh, yeah. Well, Casey just told me we don't have time to do
it for tomorrow.
No. He just told me we don't have time to do the bizarre file.
We have 3 minutes. Can you get it done in 3 minutes?
Or should we save it for another 2.5 minutes?
Let's just save it.
Is this a prime time or is this Preston and Steve after dark?
It might be.
I like how you said speaking of dongs.
I know.
I figured
you would.
Thank you.
Well, Bill ate up all the bizarre file time, and so did Jillian.
Bitch.
So we're going to have to skip that, and we're going to have to take a break and come back in a moment for all of that. Damn it, I was going to point something out, too.
What was it?
My Ben Penis?
Well, I wrote down Creed, and I don't remember what I was going to say.
The trailers?
Oh, one of our Hooters girls?
Bouncing in. Well, the trailer is out. No, it wasn't one of our Hooters girls.
You finally learned the Apostles' Creed without having to read it?
No. I don't remember what it was. So you know what? We'll take a break.
Scott Stapp?
With that. No, not the band Creed, okay. The movie Creed. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back in a moment or two. But fear not, we'll give you something for sticking around. I have my last one of these to give away, and it's a wing party voucher good for 100 free wings and for a party of 8 or more at Hooters.
Yeah,
we'll take call number 12 at 215-263. Don't forget that you can find your perfect catch at Hooters all day Sunday. Get hooked on half-price seafood at participating locations. Jackie Bam Bam will be at the King of Prussia location this Sunday from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So come by and see him. And Jackie and Brittany and Anissa, who are on our Heidi Camp, work at that particular Hooters. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Dorothy. Take me down to the bottom. Fozzy. Stone Temple Pilots.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
93.3 WMMR. It's everything that rocks. Tom Petty. Refugee. It's 3 minutes after 10 o'clock. We have this Wednesday morning looking very nice today. Sunshine. Maybe some spotty showers. It's kind of looking like how some of the week is going to be playing out. A little bit of rain here and there. I don't see lingering showers for any length of time, except maybe overnight. High 84 today, 86 tomorrow. Friday, 77. But now calling for some showers. I hope not, man. Put in a charity golf outing that day for Hackers versus Cancer. Hope it's going to play out all right. We shall see, though. We have three beautiful ladies from Hooters who are on our studio cam this morning, our Heidi cam, if you will. So if you want to take a look, they're having some fun. We got them some little bouncy toys that they're bouncing
around.
They're
smiling. They're having a good time. They're great on camera, and they're wonderful.
So we want to thank those guys for being here. I'm going to do I'm not doing a lesson question.
No.
Because we skipped the bizarre file before. But you know what we can do is we can get our secret text word winner, do the bizarre file, get that, and then come back and do the lesson question. So, Kathy, what number caller? Set your heart afire right now.
15.
All right. Caller 15 at 215-263-WMMR. If you know the secret text word, you can win. Call now.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
And it's brought to you by Dunkin' Donuts this summer. Dunkin's got ice cream inspired iced coffee in the flavors you love. Pistachio, cookie dough, and butter pecan. Stop by Dunkin' today. What's your flavor? America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. This is a sad story, but a cautionary tale. A young man knifed himself to death in the mistaken belief that his jacket that he was wearing was stab-proof. Jordan Easton.
I don't think this is working.
You hear people, you know, do this with guns from time to time, think they're wearing a bulletproof vest, and it's not.
For some reason, I think they overstated its ability to stop an attack.
And there he goes. Jordan Easton was sitting in the kitchen of a friend's house when he decided to test the life-saving properties of his jacket. The court heard that Easton died of a single stab wound to the chest after being rushed to the hospital.
You know, it occurs to me that maybe this doesn't work.
Maybe test it on your shoulder or something.
Yeah,
first,
no,
you know?
Right through your heart.
The assistant coroner said while in the kitchen, he took hold of a knife to demonstrate that it was stab-proof.
I'm going to write a tersely worded letter to the manufacturer.
And sadly realized that it wasn't the case. The inquest heard medics battled to save his life, but were unsuccessful. The witnesses' statements taken all tallied with each other and the relevant evidence, such as toxicology results they're waiting on.
Give me a pen and paper, please. Dear Vest manufacturer, your product is inferior.
His mother told the hearing it's more possible if it was bravado showing off in front of the lads. It's out of character for him. I can't absorb it. So don't do that.
Don't. And as you said, if you're going to be dumb, test it on your arm first.
All right. So we had a woman shaving her legs in a pool in Florida recently. Now we have a woman
super hot
that was filmed brazenly shaving her legs in front of hundreds of commuters at a busy subway station.
Can't you find time at home to shave your legs?
I mean, Steve, I saw the picture, lather and the whole thing. Stop she didn't it. Just take out a razor and start. She lathered them up. And then she shaved him on the train platform.
I have two words for her, skull shaver.
The woman is seen driving her legs.
She can drive her legs.
No, she was seen giving her legs the once over on the platform at Times Square. The woman is all lathered up and good to go. She then takes out a razor and begins to work on those pesky leg hairs. At least 10 people are in her nearby vicinity. Sitting next to her on the sitting or standing on the platform waiting for her and the next train.
I would rather watch someone shooting up than do that.
The footage was captured last Monday on the 42nd Street Station platform in Manhattan.
Have you ever walked out of the house with full shaving cream on?
No.
Yeah.
No.
So what's this about?
Yeah, I don't know. A Missouri woman who was found with a loaded handgun hidden in her vagina during a traffic stop has been sentenced to 2 years behind bars. Anika Witt pleaded guilty to weapons possessions and drug charges.
One more time.
Is that a queef?
Do you have the other squeaky one? Anika Witt pleaded guilty to weapons charges. She struck a plea deal that required her to testify.
You would have to do it with a barrel facing out, right?
I think so. Yeah, it's for safety.
Handle first.
To testify against a male co-defendant. The serial criminal and Clinton McDonald were taken in by police following a traffic stop. Heroin was found stuffed in her bra, and ecstasy was also found in the vehicle. During a strip search, police found Witt's 38 caliber Kimber handgun that was loaded, and it was in her nanny hoo-hoo.
That's no small firearm.
Well, the Kimber
is smaller.
It's 5.6 inches long and weighs 13.4 ounces when empty.
Wow.
She has been in jail since her September arrest and will be credited for the 8 months that she has spent in county prison, by the way. For Demi Sweeney, a college student in England, spiders are a literal nightmare and so terrifying that when she was confronted by a one-inch arachnid on her wall, she decided to call a friend to help in killing it. But when no one she knew was close by to help her out with the insecticide, her friend on the phone suggested that she order food for delivery in hopes that the driver might kill the offending insect.
So that's how terrified she is of arachnids.
Yes. Yeah, so Sweeney decided that it was worth a shot. And before ordering her meal from KFC, she wrote to Deliveroo's, which is a delivery service, customer service, hoping that She might be able to ask for an extra service. She wrote, hello, I have a huge phobia of spiders. There's one in the corner of our house near the door. And if I order food, is it possible that at all that the driver could get rid of it, she wrote. Deliveroo's customer service sympathized with her predicament, but said that the driver may not be much help if they were more afraid of the spiders than she is. You can most certainly request this in the delivery note section when placing your order. They said the only thing is our rider may be more afraid of spiders than you are. Sweeney told the Washington Post that she is so terrified of spiders she regularly loses sleep just thinking about them.
Wow.
Fortunately, when the delivery driver named Joe appeared at her door 20 minutes later with her order, she made the request hoping that she didn't sound crazy. She said, I then begged, telling him, please, you have to help me. I only ordered food for your help. The nice guy that he is, Joe decided to help her out, climbing onto a chair and swatting it, making it fall to the ground. College co-ed said Joe managed to capture the spider and flush it down the toilet. She said, I thanked him so many times, I could literally have hugged him. He is my hero. So she ordered food. She wasn't even hungry. It wasn't for dinner. She ordered it so he'd kill the spider.
That's understandable.
Mm-hmm.
She might want to talk to a therapist or hypnotist or something.
Maybe. One more story, and then we wrap it up. Fire officials responded to a detonation on a front porch, and it was after children in the area. After children in the area found two homemade explosive devices. Ooh. That they thought were Pokemon balls.
Were they designed to look like Pokemon balls?
Color-wise, they looked a little bit like it. I saw pictures. The children found one device in a graveled area between two houses and the other in the street near a storm drain. They showed the devices to their parents, who didn't know what they were either. The kids left the devices on the front porch, went inside, and then one of the devices exploded.
God!
The detonation caused little damage to the home, but could have caused significant damage to a human. The bomb squad secured the area and placed the neighborhood on shelter-in-place protocol. The squad did a safety sweep of the area, and they couldn't find any other explosive devices. Detectives are investigating the origin of the devices. I could have easily put in that story where they were finding, you know, explosive devices around here. Those things were below. Where was that, Kathy?
Out in Bucks County. Yeah, it was like Upper Bucks and part of Lehigh County.
Has there been any lead in that story? Because it's crazy.
They just know that someone is setting them. I don't think they have any idea who. They're trying to track it down. But
The last time you reported the story, they were saying that they were not going to mow public areas.
They were telling people, don't mow your lawn, basically, because there was somebody mowing. You know, there's a lot of like farmland out
there.
Right, yeah. It's beautiful out there. Beautiful Bucks County.
Beautiful Bucks County.
So beautiful.
Just gorgeous.
But a guy was mowing and ran over it.
Wow. Mm. All right. Interesting. All right. We need to get a winner for our secret text word. We were looking for caller number 15, I believe it was. Mike, are you there?
Yes, good morning. You guys rock and roll.
Yay! Thank you. Thank you, buddy. Do me a favor. Give me that secret text word, please.
Duvet.
Yeah. You got it, Mike. Duvet is correct, and you can snuggle up underneath one with an overnight stay at the Cambria Hotel on Broad Street. All right, buddy?
Oh, big time happy.
Big time happy. With the good and the nice and the bee.
Hang on just a second, bud. We'll get your information over at the Cambria Hotel in Philadelphia on Broad Street. Is now open. It features modern, local design, upscale amenities, and several restaurants of craft beer. Visit choicehotels.com/Cambria for your stay. Big time happy.
Big time happy.
Nice. Yeah. All right, so we're going to do today's lesson question. We're going to give away, let's see, a $50 Rita's Water Ice gift card for the correct answer to this question. Let me see here. How about this one? Steve waited 5 hours in line to see which actor in Hamilton. 215-263-WMMR. He had to have been either listening to us or watching us on Fox 29 because that's when he said it. Steve waited 5 hours in line to see what actor in Hamilton. 215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do the trash while we are awaiting your call.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you by Allstate. With an Allstate agent, you get expert advice and the best coverage for you. Plus, with new lower auto rates, they can help you save. So call your local Allstate agent today. Are you in good hands? What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, Heidi Klum, her kids, and current boy toy Tom Kulitz taking in Disneyland over the Father's Day weekend. Kulitz acknowledged that while he's not the children's father, he does go to the same school. So. And yet,
Another Farrah Abraham story in the tabloids, this one suggesting the backdoor teen mom slash porn star is seriously considering getting into the creative side of filmmaking. Abraham says she's eager to get behind the camera now that she's already had the camera in her behind.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh my God.
And
my
finally, goodness. Caitlyn Jenner, supposedly moving ahead with plans to launch a daytime talk show. Caitlyn says she has a very way of disarming celebrities for great interviews by having them stare directly at her cantaloupe-sized Adam's apple. And that's your Hollywood trash.
All right, see if anybody was paying attention this morning knows the answer to this question. Steve waited 5 hours in line to see which actor in Hamilton, and we're going to go over to Bill for that answer. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Bill, so what actor does Steve stand in line for 5 hours to see in Hamilton?
That would be Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier. You got it, man. Hang on a second. For Bill, we have a $50 gift certificate for Rita's Water Ice. And we're going to tell you to grab the new Rita's Party Pack. Perfect for graduations, birthday, and office parties. And family barbecues. Get a free insulated cooler bag with a purchase of 6 quarts of Rita's Water Ice or more. Let's get into music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
And it's brought to you this morning by Sequoia Outback. It's not too late to create the backyard of your dreams at Sequoia Outback. And you can visit them on Route 309 in Hatfield or online at decksupplies.com. Pearl Jam forced to postpone last night's show at the O2 Arena in London.
Whoa.
After Eddie Vedder lost his voice.
Really?
The band broke the news on social media, writing, Eddie Vedder has completely lost his voice. He is on vocal rest for the next few days in an effort to heal and perform the remainder of the tour dates. The band's statement added, it is the first time ever having to postpone a show for this reason.
I was trying to think back if I had ever heard of this with them, and no.
They said Ed and the band are gutted, thinking of all the folks who have traveled and made plans.
I've completely lost my voice, and I can't sing.
Your voice sounds pretty good to me. It sounds like you can talk.
I mean, I completely lost my voice.
Apparently, he sounded pretty crappy the night before. They did 2 shows in London. This was night number 2. And people weren't exactly complaining, but he addressed it from the stage in London for the first night and said that he was not sounding so great. And then they just full-on canceled / postponed last night's show.
Pearl Jam's last gig before the hiatus was Monday night, also at the O2. The band is currently hoping to reschedule the second London show for mid-July, with tickets for the canceled date remaining valid for the makeup performance. For now, Pearl Jam is set to resume its European tour on Friday. We'll see if his voice holds out and is ready by then. They'll be in Milan, Italy, assuming that he's ready to continue. Seether and Tremonti are going to head out together on a brief run of tour dates starting in mid-September. They'll be winding down in early October. And they'll be at the Electric Factory on September 15th.
Ooh.
The tickets are on sale now. VIP tickets are on sale now. While ticketing for the general public starts this Friday at 10 a.m. local time. And just one more thing, Godsmack side project, The Apocalypse Blues Review, has shared a new song, which is called Open Spaces. The track is the second single released from the band's upcoming album, The Shape of Blues to Come, which is due out on July 20th. The group features Godsmack guitarist Tony Rombola, drummer Shannon Larkin, and other members of the group are frontman Ray Serbone and bassist Brian Carpenter. Larkin said about the new LP, which follows up the 2016 self-titled debut. We're very excited about this second record. I've seen 4 wills join so strongly with one intent as I have in this band. That's something special. So
it's totally special.
There you go. And that's all I got for you now in music news this morning. We'll take another break. When we get back, we've got that trip to Paris to get you closer to winning. We'll have the letter of the day for the word of the week prize and more when we get back. Stay with us.
Preston and Steve Show on 93.3 WMMR. Like the podcast, you'll also love it live when you can call in. Weekdays from 6 a.m. to about 10:30 a.m. on the radio at 93.3 WMMR. Or stream the show live via MMR's mobile app.
The Struts and Body Talks on 93.3 WMMR. I really, really enjoy that song. I love that band. Like I said, when we debuted that a few days ago, it's some fun in the world of rock. And I appreciate that. 10:29 on this Wednesday with the Preston and Steve Show. Things about ready to wrap up. And our ladies from Hooters are from the King of Prussia location, Jackie, Brittany, and Anissa, trying their turn at the hula hoop and doing an amazing job.
They're great.
Better than I would ever be able to do that.
Absolutely.
So thank you for coming by and giving us all those cool wing party vouchers that we give away. And Jackie Bam Bam, along with the MM Army, will be there on Sunday, this Sunday, at the King of Prussia location, and it's Seafood Sunday, 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. So stop by and you can win a summer six-pack of concert tickets from MM Army.
Excellent.
And hang out with Jackie Bam Bam. It's a pretty cool thing. Thank you very much to Lil Rel Howery,
yeah,
who was here this morning. Rel, if you did not know, his name right off the bat there is, he's the comedic relief in the movie Get Out. He's the TSA agent. He's hilarious. Rod was
he's great
in that movie. And he's got another movie. It looks really funny, too, called Uncle Drew. And it's in theaters on June 29th. So he stopped by to tell us a little bit about that. So it was cool to have him by here.
Good dude.
And our buddy Jim Sutcliffe, who stopped by from Live Nation, too. Thank you. They let us know Live Nation Yards Festival Pier IPA beer. So at Festival Pier, they're going to have a special IPA made exclusively for that location from Yards. And they debut it tomorrow with the Dropkick Murphys.
It's a cool idea, yep, honestly. And if you have not been down to the complex there for a show, you need to, because it's great.
Oh, yeah, man, tomorrow's first day of summer.
Yeah, first official
day of summer. It's the longest day of the year, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think you can celebrate tomorrow, first day of summer, by joining Steve at the Moshulu.
The Mutiny on the Moshulu, yes, from Moshulu, from 6 to 9, and you are out and about, yes?
Yeah, so why not just, you know, double up? Go to Steve's thing first, and then come and join me at Chopper's Hatchet House. It's an open house, right? So it's a free event at Chopper's Hatchet House from 6:30 to 8:30, so you can do both. You can go do the Moshulu, you know, spend your money there.
Yes.
And then come to my place for free.
And throw hatchets.
Throw hatchets. So Chopper's Hatchet House is in Cherry Hill. It's on Berlin Road. And it's a free axe throwing event. All you have to do is just go to WMMR.com and you can RSVP there. So bring your own food. Don't forget that you can bring some cold ones as well. Make sure you have close-toed shoes and valid ID. But if you go to WMMR.com, click on events and go to tomorrow's date, and you can RSVP and come and throw hatchets for free with me.
Nice.
Excellent. You know what? I should I give these away now, Case?
Yeah.
Dropkick Murphys. I'll give away tickets to that show at Festival Pier. How about that? I'll take call number 10. I'll give you a pair of tickets, 215-263-WMMR. So tickets will remain at Ticketmaster.com. So call
Pork
right now.
Pork chops and apples.
That's right. So we'll set you up with that. Let's do the letter of the day. Case, you ready?
Got it.
Here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter
O, right, as in we.
Yes, very good, because we have a trip to Paris that we're going to be giving away for the premiere of Mission Impossible Fallout, including two round-trip airline tickets, three-night hotel stay, two hop-on, hop-off bus, tour, and boat ride passes, and you'll get admission for two to the premiere screening on July 12th. Mission Impossible Fallout hits theaters nationwide on July 27th. So a trip to Paris, man. We're giving that away in 2 days.
Glorious.
So good luck to you, my friend. I will also take this moment to thank our fine sponsors of the Preston and Steve Radio Program. It's been brought to you today by Dunkin' Donuts, and it's the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. The Preston and Steve Show runs on Dunkin'. And Winter Airport Parking, the 2017 Reader's Choice Award winner from the Philadelphia Inquirer. And Turnersville Auto Complex. Shop Audi Turnersville, South Jersey's top certified pre-owned dealer, online at AudiTurnersville.com. Tomorrow on this program, comedian Ryan Hamilton will be in our studio. I have some more of those tickets to Dropkick Murphys to give away. And I know we're sitting on a whole bunch of stuff that you can win, so your opportunity to do that very thing will be along with us. Pierre is in next. Enjoy his company. Rage on and have a great day. And we'll do it again tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve love you, hate you line.
Guys. 2 minutes of demolition work, and what, two or three, you were bleeding? Stick the radio.
Next message.
Kathy, I think you're sexy as hell. God damn, woman.
Next message.
Oh, put down your windows. It's such a nice day. Are you kidding me? It's like 90-degree weather. I'm hot as...
the Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.